And welcome back to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by doitallinthemall.com. And the music you hear in the background is Must Be the Music. Today we're talking about Black Music Month. And Mr. Sergeant Parks, he's going to tell everybody about Black Music Month and some other things as well. And so how is everybody doing out there? I want to welcome you to Let's Do a Radio, found on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. And I want to welcome our worldwide listeners. Hey, listeners, how you doing? Today is Thursday, June 24th, 2021. And this is your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais.Cool Designs, broadcasting to you, of course, worldwide. And our guest speaker for the evening is none other than the Mr. Sergeant James Parks, who is keeping it real from Yakima, Washington, with the topic Black Music Month. And if you have a product or business, you can bring it in to Do It All in the Mall, where all of the entrepreneurs can be found under the client's carousel on, of course, the homepage of Do It All in the Mall, which is owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Fraser, also out of Yakima, Washington. And she has been in this business for over 13 years. And the mall is a safe and secure 24/7 online shopping mall of, guess what, over 5,000 stores for all your needs. You can shop for anything you need while listening to entertainment, all in the comfort of wherever you may be. You can make a difference worldwide. So please visit, take a tour, peruse, and of course, shop. Because the more you shop, the more commission we get to go into the communities. So Black Music Month was established by President Jimmy Carter in 1979 to celebrate the African-American musical influences that comprise an essential part of our nation's treasured cultural heritage. The celebration was renamed African-American Music Month in 2009 by none other than President Barack Obama. But this is where the discussion is going to begin about today, after we hear I've Got the Music in Me. So get ready for that discussion when we return and join in by calling 845-241-9985. Again, 845-241-9985. We want to hear from you because we got the music in us.
Ain't got no troubles in my life, no foolish dreams to make me cry. I'm never frightened or worried. I know I'll always get by. I heat up,
heat up.
I cool down.
Cool down.
When something gets
yeah.
in my way, I go around it. Don't let life get me down. Gonna take it the way that I found it, y'all. I got the music in me. I got the music in me. I got the music in me. Yeah. I got the music in me. music. Pretty, 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 pretty music. I got the music in me, yeah.
I got the music in me. Yes, indeedy. We got music all throughout us, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are shopping at doitallinthemall.com. Why? Because a percentage of the proceeds will go back into our communities and help redevelop those same communities, making our lives better. Women and men have been coming together by shopping to make a difference in our communities. And won't you join us today? Again, shop doitallinthemall.com.
And let's put our hands together to give a warm round of applause and welcome to none other than Sergeant James Parks. How you doing, Sergeant Parks?
Oh, girl, you're so kind. I just got back from Hot Phoenix, so I'm trying to stay up to par on what y'all are doing, but this Black Music Month, we need to talk about the contribution that Black people have made in the way of music and stuff to America. I think that's very relevant during these times. I mean,
right.
If we talk about religion, if we talk about hip-hop, blues, and everything in between, well, you got to at least give some people and stuff their props and stuff. We love that.
Right,
down
right.
Home, foot stomping, hand clapping, funky bass, okay?
Right,
and
right.
That's what it's all about. And it's really, I think the times are right coming out of this COVID and stuff that we had a chance to recognize that. Now, don't think the Black people came up with the body influence all on their own. They had to take away from a lot of different cultures and stuff to be able to arrive, you know, get to where we got to. Okay, but this day we're going to celebrate some Black songs and call us and call in and talk about your favorite people and stuff. So I thought it was fitting that the climate is dictating in America that somebody in the government or controlling the government done somebody wrong. That's why I wanted to do the payback by Mr. James Blunt. You know,
uh-huh.
And believe it or not, Inez, a lot of people still don't understand what he was talking about. They don't.
Well, he don't even understand what he's talking about. Who understands that?
He was probably all high on something and stuff. James had his time, but his music was a legend, though. I can tell you about that.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It's so funny. So, you want me to go ahead and play that?
Yeah, let's listen to the big playback. You don't even have to play
the whole
7 minutes in it, but let's just listen to it.
Okay. And today's topic is Black Music Month, and if you want to call in and talk about The Big Payback by James Brown, that number is 845-241-9985. And we have Sergeant Parks here along with his sidekick, Ms. Janet Schwartz, as she is keeping history alive. We're keeping history alive, and we're keeping it real, so we're just keeping it real. So I'm going to play but sometimes it's called The Payback or The Big Payback. It's the same thing. Hey, James Brown, jump back, kiss yourself. Ow.
Get back. Payback. Payback.
We go, the big payback. Had me cracking up. The big payback.
I'm trying to tell you that was the sound of the time and stuff, you know. A lot of people just we took the music, okay, and it sort of like made us forget about some of our stuff, you know.
Right.
James Brown, he was real controversial, but he loved to have that bit on the table and stuff because he had his moments, you know.
Yes, he did. We all have our moments.
If you like that part about, I don't know karate, but I know Kareza.
I know Kareza.
I know
it's Kareza. It's a big payback.
Well, that was back doing Bruce Lee, then, right? It was jumping out and kicking butt. He goes, I can't do that karate, but I can do Kareza.
I can do that Kareza. I can act just as crazy as I want to be. That's funny.
I
that is
you,
so
I
funny.
I take You gonna pull my hair out? I'll take my hair off and put it over here because I don't want to destroy it. We can get it on.
Oh, don't forget the taking the earrings out the ears and, you know, taking the wigs and the weaves out. It's a big payback.
That was just a little bit before the process, wasn't it? That was process. We got used to do
his
our
hair
perm,
was,
get
well,
our pump. Get out.
Yeah, he got
comped.
Yeah, he got
comped.
Is what it was.
Oh, I used to hate that. I never tried that. Looked too dangerous to me.
Oh.
You know.
Oh well.
Put
you know,
that stuff in there. They did it wrong. You end up burning your head. Oh no. I just go with
now
my.
Now you sound like what's his name? You sound like on Malcolm X when Denzel put his hair in the and started burning.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's too hilarious. That is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's. It just brings me full circle, you know, to the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just think about what was taking on this time. You know who Tricky Dick was, right?
Trick Daddy or Tricky Dick? You talk
Tricky
about Richard
Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Nixon? Richard Nixon?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I know a little something.
That was the hit on the time. And I thought it was appropriate because now we're having some of the same thing. Our outgoing president.
Going on.
And, left in some kind of state. But he might be back. Y'all better be careful.
We
might be
dead. Oh, child, if we don't act right. But we do have a caller with us. I think it's our friend Wade from New York. Let me check in with him and see, because he likes to listen to us. So I'm going to see if that's Wade from New York. Hold on. Caller number 6998, is that Wade from New York?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, so all right, hanging in there.
Good, 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 good. You heard of the Big Payback, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's the James Brown song, you know.
Yep. Mhm. So that's what you came in on, was the Big Payback, and we're talking about Black Music Month. So this evening, Sergeant James Parks is up on deck, and he's bringing to us Black Music Month. So Wade, he usually listens, so I go and check on him to see if he's okay and so on and so forth. So you good, Wade?
Yeah, I'm good.
You good? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll keep checking on you in case you want to say something.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold up before you go, Wade. You got any music back that you want to talk about, man? Go ahead. What's your shot, you know?
Nah, I'm just absorbing the information and the music.
Uh-huh.
I display it, the information. That's it.
He'd be grasping. He's like a sponge. He'd just be grasping some information. I love it.
Well, everybody has what they like from, you know, from music, period. I know that my mom, she's in a lot of religious music. That's why I got a collection of Black gospel singers. Man, I got gospel singers back to the 50s. You know, she used to love that. She collected that. And I got some of that. But, you know, a lot of people like different things and stuff. But mostly it was all about the tunes, and it was all about the message.
Right. What they had to say. That's so true.
There you go.
That
yeah.
is so true. So you want me to play the next clip?
Yeah, the next clip is a short on a short history on Black music in America. So we'll talk about it on the other side.
On the flip side, all right.
I have a theory. What if all pop music today was inspired by Black culture? Yes, that even means your boy Bieber. Hi, I'm Taylor, and I'm Black. But what I also love is music. And I want to know to what extent black culture has impacted our music industry today. And in which ways are we still impacting it? So, let's figure it out. This is a short history on black music in America. Okay, so what do we already know?
Ooh, I know that enslaved Africans developed their own sense of music with African origins.
All right, let's start with that. I want you to take a look at this man. His name is Thomas Dartmouth Rice.
That's me.
And here's what he's known for. Rice heard a disabled black enslaved man playing music and dancing.
What's that white man looking at us?
And he thought to himself, you know what's a good idea? What if I painted myself black and danced around on stage with a very bad sense of rhythm? And that's just what Thomas did. He took the man's movements, dancing and singing, and he characterized it. No. He didn't characterize it. He made a mockery of it, and he exaggerated it to create the character Jim Crow. Ta-da! We love it here. His song, Jim Crow, was an American hit. I mean, number one on the Billboard charts. Past Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, all those people. And while Thomas Dartmouth Rice did not invent blackface, he definitely became a trendsetter for future minstrel shows.
So, stereotyped or not, that means that black life from the beginning was a big part of American entertainment.
That's right. Now, let's get ahead to the 1920s. There was a movement going on within the black community called the Harlem Renaissance. Basically, it encouraged the expression of black art through books, drawings, and, you know, music. Thus, we have the emerging of jazz. Jazz was a mix of blues and ragtime, both of which have African-American origins. The thing about the genre is it broke into mainstream music. Black people listen to it. White people listen to it. Your grandma Georgie listened to it. Your Uncle Sam listened to it. Uncle Sam. And what jazz and its popularity proved was that African-American art did not need to be stereotyped and appropriated to prosper. Artists like Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, and Jelly Roll Morton fueled this jazz craze.
Hey, you know what else is mainstream?
What?
Hip-hop!
Okay, let's jump to the 1980s. Hip-hop and rap started gaining immense popularity. With Bronx origins, the genre jumped into the pop category when Sugar Hill Gang's song, Rapper's Delight, hit the top charts. As the genre gained popularity, it satisfied black audiences' presence of cultural voice and excited white suburbanites' vicarious thrills. Now, okay, what's this mean? It means that white teens liked listening to black music because their parents weren't too keen on it and let them live a dangerous life through a song.
Garner Sally, did you hear what that Negro said? Coming straight from the underground, a young Nick.
Rap and hip-hop provided another way for black people to speak about social issues, and now we see it almost everywhere. Commercials, international bands, and of course, almost every hip song. Finally! We're back to the present. The ever-popular Ariana Grande uses black flows and rhythms in her music, and she acts as an example of the impact of black life on society. And as Childish Gambino uses his music to bring to light current issues by referencing the past, he reminds us that while history is in the past, its shockwaves still affect us today. So, what have we learned?
Black people are awesome!
But also, our music industry has been greatly impacted by African Americans. There are so many artists, impacts, and movements that I can get into, but I encourage you to go out and do your own research on this. The next time you listen to a song, just remember how much of an impact African Americans have made, not only on this nation's music industry, but the world. Thank you so much for watching this video. I hope you learned something today and can appreciate music a lot more. If you want to subscribe.
All right, that was the short music video. And we have with us this evening, talking about music, we have a gentleman that I met. His name is Lamont Bless, and he is a Grammy nominee. Bless is what he likes to be called. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all tonight?
Good. We have Sergeant Parker, who is the speaker. Yeah. And we have Miss Janet.
Aboard,
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an interesting topic y'all have tonight.
So, hello? Sergeant Parks, that short clip, she was kind of like, she was all over the place, if you ask me. But she kind of broke it down as well.
Well, you had to just pay attention to it and stuff. You know, we have to give our props and stuff to, you know, to anybody that we can find at this time, you know, to try to bring on what black music has meant to the world. Okay, not only America,
right,
but has meant to the world. She mentioned hip-hop, you know, wow. You know, hip-hop, like, when those guys started trying to go find producers and Sony and all these people to do them people would tell them no because they didn't, nobody going to like that music. So they developed that stuff, man, in the back of the trunk of their car, okay?
That's
and now
right.
Look at what it is. It's the bling, you know, and the Harlem Renaissance, which a lot of people don't know unless you understand about what's going on. You know, they had the music going on from the Renaissance is just touching everybody. Okay,
right.
During those times and stuff, the mobsters was running America. So what you think that kind of music was going on in the speakeasies and stuff? Am I right or wrong?
Who owned the speakeasy?
You're right. We didn't own it, but we got in there to play our music and stuff, you know. So it's fascinating and stuff. And what you don't know or might not realize about the hip hop era and stuff is that right now to this day, you got white kids are still playing the hip hop game. They came in and wow, you got some Eminem, all of them guys, man, that came in and starts, you know, I like that. That's the way to do it, you know. So it's rewarding. It's rewarding, and plus people all over the world is catching on to it.
Yeah, rap music has actually brought a lot of people together, black, white, Chinese, Russian, because they all like hip-hop music. So when you go to a hip-hop concert, it's every color, every shade, every nationality. So it's really helping break the racial barriers, whereas music back in the day was very racialized or segregated, you know?
Yeah, you can even find some kids in India, man, that have some songs and stuff. You know, you listen at the way they do those strings. What kind of instruments are they? They're strings and solid like drums that they be playing. They got some hip hop music and stuff going on with that too as well. You know, so we
hip hop music right now is a leading industry. It's a $1 billion industry, and you can go to anywhere in the world and see hip hop. I've been to Africa and Russia and China, and they have hip hop music there. So it's really a large form. Hmm. But you're right. It all started from the Harlem Renaissance. He's absolutely right. They really set the tone for the world knowing our music. Back in the days, yeah, we had music, but we were like on the chicken. Circuit, you know,
it was only the Chitlin circuit.
So it was only for us at that time, and then it crossed over. Mm-hmm. And he's right, the mob and Jewish people owned the record industry. So, you know, he's absolutely right in what he says as far as the history of our music.
No, that's correct. And we talked about the Chitlin circuit on Tuesday with Janet. Hers was
the Harlem Renaissance
changed. Yeah, but it was the artist who changed history.
Right.
Yeah, it was the artist, and we talked about the Renaissance. We talked about the Chitlin Circuit. We talked about Josephine Baker. We talked about Langston Hughes. We went into depth.
Right.
So you guys got to join us during the week because basically, and it's just funny how she talked about that on Tuesday, and here we are talking again about it on Thursday. So it's just like, because they don't talk. And he just got back, like you said, from vacation. So they had no idea what they were going to be talking about.
Right.
So it's great. It's just, you know, everything coming together. So I just appreciate my speakers and what they bring, and then all the people who call in and bring more material to the show. So we appreciate everybody calling in.
Watch out.
Yes.
Yeah, hey Lamont.
So
if you want to chime in and talk about your processing music, when I first heard that music and stuff, man, I was saying, wow, this is real interesting and stuff. And then you take your lyrics, you know, through blues and through jazz, and wow, that's kind of smooth, man. Where did you get that genre from?
What's your question? The rap genre, is that what you're saying? Where did it come from?
Yeah. No, your music, the way you have your music set up, that's unique. I ain't heard that before. Mm-hmm.
You haven't heard what before?
Hip hop music is actually, we borrowed a little bit from everything. James Brown. We take jazz lyrics and we just restructure it and use it. Sometimes we take poetry and rewrite it. At least I do. And so rock and roll, you know, opera. It's just amazing how they take the music and bend it and twist it and mold it to make it sound to whatever they're hearing in their heads, you know?
Yeah, but I can really appreciate your music, guys. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yep. So,
okay, so
you want to go to the next clip?
So, yeah, let's dig into the next clip. It's a celebration of black music globally, just like my man was just stating and stuff. You know, you go to Europe, and I've been to Europe and stuff as a soldier, traveling all over Europe. I'm trying to tell you that you won't be lost for words, just like my guy said. I haven't been to Russia, but I've been next. I was stationed next door to Russia like 5 years, waiting on them to come across the line.
Okay.
Thank you for thanking me and stuff. But I know for a fact that what you said about everybody loving on our music and stuff, and then trying to have variations of that music and stuff. It's everywhere, man. You know, it's everywhere. So this next clip is a celebration of black music globally. Okay?
Here we go.
You move people through your music. You move people through how you sing. You make a mark on someone when they hear you sing. You have worked so hard, and you've been able to create, not follow, but create a lane for yourself.
Your message has been one about, you know, uplifting our communities, getting organized.
What drives you to continue just pushing those quote-unquote boundaries, you know, and expressing yourself in a way that you feel is authentic to you?
Black music is the root of pretty much anything that you love, anything that you vibe out to.
Everything from Stevie Wonder to KRS-One to Bob Marley to John Coltrane to Kendrick Lamar.
I'm writing country music from a black person's perspective.
Music saves lives, you know? Yeah, it saves lives, and I want to always go that far.
Music is supposed to represent the fullness of our humanity.
Dès que tu l'entends, tu sens que c'est real.
Every song that I do, I feel, is a gift. If I'm writing, it comes from another place.
And I feel like the more I write about myself, the more I get to know myself better.
That's where I learned that you could turn pain into beauty.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, kick it.
If you have a platform, then it's your responsibility to use it to take care of people and to be, you know, a positive force in the world.
My purpose
in doing my music is not just for me to get through things, but it's to help other people.
I feel like this is my time to be in the light and, you know, fulfill my purpose.
I'm not just going to be a person who's not standing for anything, like, especially when I know a lot of people can hear me.
What it meant to me is to be able to find the hope in the middle of hopelessness.
All the terror happening all over the country, I just felt the knee on my neck. In a moment that we were going through so much darkness, I wanted a song that would bring light.
A celebration of our liberation, how we view ourselves, being free to accept ourselves.
It's been a time of, like, self-exploration.
It's a perfect time to celebrate blackness, celebrate our freedom.
It's about inspiring one to have love of self regardless of what's happening.
We've come a long way. We got a long way to go.
When we're going through pain and speaking about our pain, it's the music. When we're celebrating and being joyous, it's the music.
To celebrate the dreamers, we embrace the space between us, and it's all right.
All right, Alicia Keys. So that was,
yeah, that was
celebration
a great
of black music. Oh, Lord. Yeah, yeah. Because you can, you know who some of those voices were. We had Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
We had Kirk Franklin.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah,
I don't know all the other people.
I heard Chuck D.
And so we call them Bless. And so Bless knows a lot of these artists and stuff because he works with them and he helps produce them. So he knows them. You know, his ear is tuned to their voices. So he's blessed. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we all blessed, though. We all blessed. Music. I think when you do music, you have a responsibility to the audience, but you have a real responsibility to be true to yourself. You know, music calms the savage beast. I've had a lot of people behind the walls in jail say, you know, your song helped me get through the bid, if I'm bid, or, you know, somebody that might say, man, I was going to kill myself till I heard that song and it inspired me to keep it moving. Or you'll hear people that say, I remember your song, because song takes you back to a specific time and place. You can hear a song and it'll take you back to a specific time and place in your life. And what I like about it is, music immortalizes you. You know, 10,000 years, they might find one of my LPs and listen to it and be like, wow, this is what they did.
That's an LP.
Wow. Yeah. I'm an old dude.
Yeah,
started out with LPs. You know?
Yeah, LPs are coming back, too, bro.
Yeah, I wish.
Yes, they are.
I wish. I still got a record player.
They are coming back.
I got a record player.
Yeah,
they are coming back.
They're coming back. They're coming back, man.
Yep.
Well, you know, history, whatever, it all goes around. It all comes back around, you know.
It sure does. It sure does.
Rap music is globalized. It's global. It's the number one music in the world right now. And as the other speaker said, you know, I've been to shows in Japan where they know no English, but they know every song from Wu-Tang or every song that the artist comes out. So, and it's also inspired. You have rappers from France. You have rappers from Portugal. You have rappers from places where there's no power, which amazes me, you know, third world countries, but they're able to get these rap songs and learn these rap songs. So it's an amazing, not just rap, but all, you know, music. Music is an amazing thing. It's amazing to have something that you think of in your head, a slight idea, and to watch it develop into something millions of people love. It's like a high or energy that you can't even explain. You know what I mean?
And it brings people together as well.
It does, definitely does.
Without a doubt.
Definitely,
you know,
my question
and stuff is that, have you guys heard of a young lady by the name of Brittany Spencer? Bliss, have you heard of that young lady?
I've heard a little buzz about her just recently. I haven't had a chance to really investigate her, but there is a slight buzz going on about her, her music.
Yeah, country music. This black woman is singing country music, and
from a black
listened to her a couple of times. Yeah, she was like, wow. You know,
there's an artist named Nas X that does a lot of country music too. Country rap.
I love me some Nas now.
Oh yeah, Nas is in there. But this young lady, she just she was the first black woman to perform somewhere at the Grand Ole Opry.
The Grand Ole Opry, yeah, correct.
Yeah, she performed at the Grand Ole Opry, and I was, when I found out about it, what?
Yeah,
and I listened
she's
to her, man, and there she is, and she took it to the next level. To me, she was hitting them notes that most of the country wasn't willing, the way she was hitting those notes. I don't know. I might be just biased toward her for doing that, but, you know, that made me want to listen to country. I ain't jiving. That made me want to listen to country music with some soul in it.
But all rap is country music. I mean, if you think about it, rap is country music from the beginning. Country music is I lost my baby. Country music is rhythm and blues. It's jazz. So you would figure the music would have to progress past, you know, what it was. Rap music used to be the reporters of the neighborhood because nobody was knowing what was going on in the neighborhood. It's changed a little now because of who owns the labels. You know, the labels are owned by specific people, and if you're not putting out the message they want you to put out, then you can't get a contract. Because you remember when rap music first came out, there were a whole bunch of different lanes. There was conscious rap, there was gangster rap, there was jazz rap, and it isn't that anymore because it's a design plan. You know, they're using rap music to control the youth. So of course, if you want to destroy a specific genre of people, you're going to put messages out that have them act in a specific way and most of all think in a specific way. So you're not going to want conscious rap for them to say, hey, this system is messed up, we need to change. You're going to want to keep them thinking that you know, doing illegal stuff is cool, because if you do illegal stuff, then you get caught. When you get caught, you go to jail. You know, it's a whole system built on that. So that's the part of rap music that's ugly, that I don't like. That you know, a lot of artists want to do positive things, and they're stuck. They're stuck between, do I do what's conscious or what's right, or do I do what feeds my family, you know? Because at the end of the day, artists are working people. You know, they feed their families just like we do. They have responsibilities,
right?
And they're in a tough spot, you know, a real tough spot. You know, we have these conversations behind the scene all the time. Do I go? And an artist like Kendrick Lamar is a phenomenon because he's decided, I'm going to go with my heart and I'm going to go with my conscience, and that's why he's winning. But how many Kendrick Lamars are there? One, you know?
So, you know,
I salute him to have the wherewithal to say, you know what, if they don't play me so much. And it's a lot of underground artists that say the same thing. You know, Chuck D and them started out playing their music on a college radio station, underground. You know, and they caught a movement, and they couldn't stop them. But these labels, they really dictate what the message being put out, and it's being put out for a specific reason. You know what I mean? It's being put out for a specific reason. You don't hear a lot of conscious rap like Common and, you know, those types of people. You really have to search for it underground for those artists, you know?
Yeah, that's true, man. Like rap basically was three parts of rap. I forget one of the parts. One was rap and the other one was dance. So, Blitz, what was the other part of that rap?
Yeah. Graffiti was another part of the rap scene.
There you go, graffiti and stuff.
So,
that's why it worked so well in the inner cities and stuff, because it was just like a message and stuff that they was doing, and all of the kids and everybody knew about it, and they did it in these, you know, buildings where they could go and be free to be able to do that. And it was so, and it still is, so popular, because I was thinking that these rappers, that most of them, I was thinking of stuff that most of these rappers ain't got no education. They gang bangers and stuff. But I started doing my research and damn, he got more education than I got. You know,
I don't know about all of them, but some of them.
Yeah,
some of them.
Yeah.
You know, rap is the music of the voiceless. That's what rap is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening to me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. But rap is almost like it's the music of the voiceless.
A cry
it's what's
for help.
Going on where I live at. It's how I'm living. It's police brutality. And, you know, rap was the first one that really brought out police brutality. You know, what was going on. Nobody believed that. Nobody believed that these things were happening in the hood. The news wasn't reporting it. So rap became the news, you know?
There you go. And the police wanted to get on them. Didn't want them saying that. They weren't talking about no pigs and killing pigs and stuff. I remember that like it was yesterday. Want to shut down what they was going to do, man. That's really something.
That's right.
Okay, Miss Inez.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. We got any more callers? That's on. Somebody else want to come in on it?
I don't know, Miss Janet. You want to talk about anything?
Well, when you talk about country music and rap, I see the big thing that connects them is they tell a story. When you listen to country music, you have a whole story that's being told in that song. And the same thing with rap music. You have a story that's being told, at least the one that I hear. So that's where that's what they have
in
common.
Same in rock and roll, too. Same in rock and roll and jazz. There's always a story being told. Somebody's perspective of something.
And they just got it to music. Right. Wade, would you like to say anything? Listening?
No.
You good? Okay. All right. What was I going to say? But it's like, I was saying, you put words to poetry to music. That's basically because Bless and I was talking about that earlier, about putting words to music, our spoken words to music. And that's all music, is anyway, you know, unless it's jazz, you know, other than that, that's just how it is. That's just, some people express it through their instruments. Some people express it through their voices. Some people express it through their dance. But it's just an expression of how we feel. Ballet in the same way is music, it's art. And some people do it in paintings. So we all have our ways of expressing ourselves, and it's just different ways. Some put it to paint. Some put it to music. You know, so.
Some put it to clothes, lining clothes.
Yeah. Another thing, too, I know, is the fact that when most black musicians were getting their careers and stuff together, and all the opposition that they had about trying to produce their music, you know, and trying to get it out there, and then you had these people and stuff that wanted them to work for a little or nothing, you know. Most of the entertainments had to do that, but it was really just to fight to get your music out there, even though your music was good, you know, to get it out there and to get it produced. They want you to work for chicken feed. I know Bliss know about that.
They still do. Look at the fight that Prince had and Michael Jackson, how when they turned against the industry. I think at one point, Prince and Michael Jackson were the highest paid artists in the world, and they were only getting $1 per album. They were rap groups like the Fat Boys that was getting 10 cents to be split three ways per album. So it's always been a fight.
Yeah, what?
The numbers are crazy. The numbers are crazy. Now, it's a little different now because of technology, so a lot of the younger kids now are getting more because they're putting, they're saying later for the labels. You know, the labels are becoming extinct.
Right.
Because now you can put your music on YouTube or iCloud and sell a million copies without a label.
It's always a way.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. But I love all music.
It's
I love
sad,
opera. I love country. I love jazz. And it's just amazing. You know, to me, it's conjuring something that everyone has in their soul. It conjures up a, I don't want to say a spirit, but a feeling in most people, music. Music soothes the savage beast, or music conjures up the beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it music can move you in a lot of different ways. You know, it can move you.
Right.
And it can sit you down and freeze you, and it can cause you to think, and it can bring tears to your eyes or laughter. Like I said, you can hear a song and know, oh, I remember I was in junior high school in gym class at 2:00 as if it was yesterday. As if it was yesterday.
Amen.
Right.
You know? I ain't got no problem with that. That's exactly where it is. I listen to the same thing, man. I listen to all kind of music and stuff. You might wake up and I'd be playing some Oki Yinko from Korea, you know.
There you go. And get a different feel that day.
There you go.
That's fine.
Exactly the way you. And a lot of people need to listen to music. They need
exactly.
to listen
to
start music.
Their
Maybe
day
they can
and
slow
they
the head down. Yeah. You know.
Yep. I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We appreciate
That's crazy.
You, Chris. I'm glad you're on my show, man. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Oh, I'm glad to be here. I now that I know about it, I'm going to start putting the word out to my other people to listen to this show. It's a powerful show that definitely needs to be heard.
What?
Constituents? Nah, hip-hop, we ain't got no constituents. We got our homeboys.
Yeah,
it's okay.
For any one of them drunkers, we can make a play and an audience. That's what's so good about it, you know. You can make a play at an audience and stuff, you know. Because I remember Inez, you weren't on the show then, but Sharon got me to do what's the guy's name that's impersonating
James.
Who was he? No, he was impersonating. Presley.
James Stevens.
Okay.
The guy
that came on that impersonating Elvis Presley. We had to do that, and I was thinking the whole time when she told me gonna interview this guy, you know, find where he come, why he's doing Elvis and stuff. Well, that really resonated with me, and I'm saying, and he was able to say why he was doing Elvis. I didn't care because I never cared that much about Elvis, but what I was looking at was that his role in doing the impersonation to Elvis and stuff that made me think, wow, that's kind of cool, you know, because I ain't like Elvis since he made that statement and stuff, you know, about black people shining his shoes and buying his records and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this dude came on, man, and he was real cool, man, you know.
And look at James Brown and Ray Charles, who a lot of people don't know revolutionized music because they own their music. You know, they were very business minded. Ray Charles, when you see his story, but he said he played country dumb. You know, he go into a meeting and they think they don't know anything, and he come out and they scratching their head like, how'd that happen? You know, how'd he do that? And James Brown was very powerful. You think back in the day he had access to the president. How many black people had access to the president back during back during the 60s?
That's an interesting time. That's why I wanted to play James Brown. I thought nobody would even remember that. Thank you, Bless. I appreciate you, man.
James Brown, man.
I'm sorry, Inez.
That's the, more of us hip-hoppers have sampled from James Brown than anybody. I mean, he's the most sampled or taken strings or riffs and put it together and changed it up and bend it. But he's like our Bible of hip-hop. I, you know, shoot, James Brown was the man. You feel what I'm saying? He definitely was the man.
He said, shoot.
That was the first concert that I ever went to, a James Brown concert and stuff. You know,
look,
and he was,
James
I mean,
Brown
he was older
than
he was
Michael
so,
Jackson.
I'm trying to tell you, he was just so, I mean, they were just so perfect. His shows were really perfect. Everybody was in line, everything. You know, the next event that he did, you had to look to now. Is he going to drop that cake? When is he going to drop that cake? You know,
exactly.
You know, he dropped the cake, and his guy come up there and then pick the cake up, and the music never stopped, you know, and
right.
Put that cake
exactly.
Back on it and stuff. He was an incredible performer,
James
yes,
Brown.
He was.
My uncle sang at the Manhattan. So I was brought up in music, like I was brought up in the era of the Persuaders and the Delphonics and the Temptations, and so it's a different music back then, and it's a purer music, I think.
I love all of them. Man, you haven't seen my collections on none of them. Okay.
I like to see that.
Back in the days, I'm trying to tell you, because I get in my
some baby making music.
I get in my little mom. That's right. When I get in my movies and stuff, then boom. You know.
You go
and I'm gonna get more of your stuff too, man, because I'm feeling where you're going and stuff with that. You know, I appreciate you, brother.
All right. Okay. I appreciate you too. There's a lot of new artists coming out too, I think, like within the next year, that's going to change the direction of music. Like you said, the young lady that's doing country music, but it's a lot of artists putting music to jazz and, you know, changing the course and direction of music. You know, it's always hard in the beginning. They said rap wouldn't last. They said it wouldn't last 3 years. And look at us now, 25 years later. Being a billion-dollar industry, and music has made the most millionaires in the world ever, but it's made the most black millionaires ever. You know, you have these kids with incredible money and becoming business-minded, becoming political, becoming righteous, and having the money and the power and the wherewithal to start to use their music for different things, good and bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you can see that in what is taking place with most of those rappers and most artists and stuff, and not just rappers and stuff. Bliss, answer me this question. Why are they going to Atlanta? What's going on in Atlanta, man? I'm from Atlanta Hill. I don't even know. You know. But I know a lot of them there. Yeah. A lot of those artists and stuff are taking their music to Atlanta.
Atlanta is the new hub. Atlanta is the new New York. It's just a feel in Atlanta. It's just a freedom. And it's, I don't know. I love Atlanta. I don't want to live there, but I always have a good time when I go there. And, you know, I bought my mother a house down in Atlanta, in Stockbridge, Georgia. So, I don't know. Everybody's in Atlanta. You right. Everybody's over there in Buckhead.
and I ain't going back to Atlanta to live. I won't be going. I go to visit there every year, but I won't be doing that. But I noticed, and like Tyler Perry is finna come into something. He's redoing Fort McPherson. This brother bought a whole fort. Okay.
Yeah.
He's redoing the whole fort. He's gonna have some music part of that. You know, I can't wait to see where that's going. So yeah, it's interesting, man. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, it now you got millionaires that can buy acres and acres and acres of land down in Atlanta and Georgia. Look at Rick Ross. His home was used for the Coming to America too. That's his home, that palace. You know, so I don't know if a lot of people
That's
knew about that. And look how he leveraged it. Okay, you're gonna use my home, but you gotta let me in the movie, and you gotta let me do some music on the soundtrack. So, like I said, rappers
and who
are becoming businessmen. Rick Ross.
Rick Ross.
Okay.
Yeah, Rick Ross.
Big Rick.
And And look, and T.I. is in Atlanta. You know, yep. There's a lot of people in Atlanta.
Yeah,
there
is.
A lot of
people. And they got a pretty nice jazz scene there, too. That's the best kept secret to me.
They remind me of the Harlem Renaissance.
Atlanta, to me, is
the new Renaissance. It's the new Renaissance. Yep. It's the place
next
to be.
Next month, I'm going to explore for y'all, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to have a whole show about it, man. You know. Next month I'm gonna be in the big L.
There's a movement in New Orleans also, a slight movement that's starting to make some noise in New Orleans, you know.
What's New Orleans?
Wow.
New Orleans. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they already
Thank you.
Bliss, do they still have the jazz festival in New Orleans? I think they still have that jazz festival there.
Of course they
That's
do.
Already I went there. I was there in 2005, I want to say. I was there for an NAACP something, man, and ended up going to the jazz festival. Cut out on the NAACP conference and stuff. It was just so bad, you know.
Yeah. Essence Music Festival sponsors that now. Yeah, Essence Music Festival sponsors that jazz thing now.
It used to be the Newport Jazz Festival, right?
Yep, exactly. I would recommend anybody to make sure they do that once in their lifetime, you know. You got
to
experience these different festivals, you know.
Yep.
What's his name? Pharrell has a big music thing in Virginia every year. So a lot of these artists now are putting together. It's huge. Every year in Virginia. And, you know, on the West Coast, they have a lot of these, like Lollapalooza. They have a Lollapalooza festival where it's a mix of rap and hardcore rap. No, hardcore it's rap and it's I call it rock and roll, you know, hardcore rock and roll. They got a name for it, but I can't bring it up right now. So all these different big concerts.
Yeah, Beyonce just did something in Coachella, didn't she?
Exactly,
she
you want to talk to your thing.
She did something in Coachella, man, like she was like,
he thinks he did.
Yeah, she blew it up, blew the whole thing up and stuff. I'm saying, wow, man.
I think Jay-Z has something to do with the festival in New York at the Central Park every year. I'm not exactly sure, but I've heard that. So, you know, now you have a lot of these rappers doing shows and getting into real estate and art, and it's just amazing, you know, for somebody that comes from the project and is not educated to now be CEOs of these companies and running these companies and learning business and giving back to the community. A lot of these artists give back to the community. They just don't want it known, you know?
Right. They were ghostwriters.
That reminds me, Bliss, of what took place and stuff. Was that New York or Chicago where they were having all of the riots and stuff, and then they called James Brown in
to calm it down.
Called James Brown in and stuff, you know.
They need to look at the James Brown story. They need to look at the James Brown story. They need to look at the Ray Charles story. I was just watching today the Josephine Baker story, which is an amazing story.
Was that something or not? That was something,
yes,
man.
They need to look at Cadillac Records, you know, to see.
Did you see that one?
That's my favorite one, Cadillac Records.
Oh, man, that was down home earth. Where the Jewish guy was, there you go, that was awesome.
He just saying what was going on back in the day. It's always been that. You know, underground.
Right.
So a lot of these stories are starting to come out now about these artists, you know. Unfortunately, A lot of them was caught up on drugs and stuff because that was put out for them as a form of control, too, you know. It's all about a form of control, you know.
But that's what this that's what I try to make this show about, Bliss. I try to make this show about what's relevant. It's not just what's relevant with black people, but as a way that we got to be able to communicate to figure out where we come from and where we going, you know, and not for us. This is not for us. It's just like these young people are coming in with the same thing, man. I was looking at you know, this thing that's happening and stuff in the schools and stuff. And then with the critical race theory, you guys hear that? We don't want our kids in school learning about the critical race history. Isn't that putting I'm just saying, this don't sound like me. Somebody trying to put a spin on something.
Oh, they're trying to erase history. They're trying to change. You know, I hear them say, and I hear them say, oh, slavery was back in the days. You need to move on. But they don't say that about the Holocaust. You know, Jewish people are never going to let you forget the Holocaust. You know?
Or they don't say that about the Japanese Americans that they dislodged and stuff from their rich. I mean, right here where we live, this valley, man. Oh, man, these people, you talking about growing these nice big old foods. Yeah, I had no idea. You know, I had to learn out about that. This property belonged to them. We ran them off their property, you know, and then we put them in concentration camp. But we were able to give them some reparations.
Everybody's getting reparations but us. Everybody gets reparations by black folk, you know.
And I was settled
But they are trying to give the go ahead.
In North Carolina, though, in North Carolina, they passed the Reparation Act, and they're giving people in North Carolina reparations. I read about that about 2.5 years ago. I have to look it back up and see what happened with that. But I know it was passed, and they had given out some checks. So, you know, I guess it's going to be up to each individual state, you know?
I guess so.
Right.
But I think we should still keep our eyes open and stuff. And I'm for, you know, let's have this conversation and stuff that, you know, hell, it don't have to be just black folks in here talking about this.
Yeah.
How many people and stuff can we get in the same space to be talking about how we going to be able to live in this same space together? If we don't kill each other off, it don't make no sense. Might well then join Mr. Whatchamacallit and then go to the Mars, take a crew to Mars up there, see how you go. they want to go and have a Mars in there. Well, what the heck wrong with trying to just do what we can do here? You know?
Yeah,
I don't think all white people
your money here.
All white people ain't racist. You know, all black folks ain't saints. You know,
they're not because if you looked at these when the people got together for the shootings, it was a lot of white people, Chinese people. You know, and that's what made the 1% so scared, that the 99% got together and united, you know, races and all creeds. You know, now they're starting to see that wrong is wrong. You know, everybody wants to see their kids come home. That's every parent's, you know, dream, that for your kids to come home, whether he's white, black, Chinese, Russian. And so everybody could feel when these children are being killed or these adults are being killed unjustly. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone feels that. Even racist people feel that. You know, that could be me or mine. You know, so you're right. You're exactly right. This world is starting for the first time, I believe, to communicate, to talk to each other. Because that's the key. Once you talk to each other and realize, their parents just want them to be educated like my parents. Or you just want to see your next generation do better than the first generation. And once we have those conversations, we find out that we're more alike than different, you know? And music is the main the main thing that's doing that is bringing a lot of people together to enjoy something that they all like, and then the conversation starts.
Well, that's what we got to have, boy. I'm telling you, I think Sharon's already thinking about it, Inez, about having some kind of music festival this time next year. Bliss, I sure hope you can be able to do it, man, because I think she's going to be trying to bring it here to Wake. Oh, and the people now talking about, the GOP is talking about being woke. Okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
Okay.
I heard that.
They don't need to be woke. I'm saying, where did that come from? You know?
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
A lot of young people, you know, everybody complains about Trump, which, you know, is his or her opinion. But one thing I know is he woke up America about politics. He woke the young people up. You can go into the barbershops in the hood and you hear people talking about the Senate and who's the senator and who's voting, and they're in the local elections now. So it woke a lot of people up. It woke America up. It woke America up about politics, change, how to enact laws. And a lot of people that weren't interested in politics are now very interested in politics and what's going on in the world, you know?
Yeah, we got more women, women than any time in our history and stuff. They're coming into different positions and coming into politics and stuff, you know? So to me, that's a good thing. That's
a very good
thing.
Good thing.
We
right.
Just represent it. If you're not going to work for what it is you want, then you're going to be in the same place next year as you was in this year. So,
exactly.
You know, ain't nobody going to try to be convincing you to get out and do things. But if you got to, we can't separate ourselves in America. We can't go get on no little, we can't buy up Wyoming and then all black folks or all white folks go Habitat Wyoming without every state around Wyoming trying to make Wyoming inhabitable. That can't happen. You know,
if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
That's right.
And right.
That's correct. That's what our music do. So, okay, for Miss Janet, Miss Inez, let's go down to
continue
this next clip. Yeah.
Amorphous. All right, and for those of you out there who are listening, you're welcome to call in 845-241-9985 or join us in the chat room on Let's Do It Radio, or, you know, just click on the Let's Do It Radio banner and just go ahead and listen. Again, that number is 845-241-9985, and I'm going to play Amorphous, Kalani, Back Together.
I've never heard of them.
Did you like it?
Sergeant Parks? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I
liked it.
I can't, my granddaughter, man, she was listening to it, and she had a music. I was talking to her, and I said, well, who is that? And so she turned it up. I said, wow, you know, that's hip, because originally, Inez, you know, last week before we all went on vacation and stuff, we were talking about, well, I was talking about, you were listening.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about doing a tribute to black women, musicians and stuff, you know. And that's what gave me that,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that idea that I wanted to do that, but I didn't want to leave no stones unturned, you know. So I picked that song there, and the next song that you guys are going to hear from Jasmine Sullivan, because I think it's appropriate that we understand and we acknowledge, okay, what is taking place now, okay, as far as, you know, these women are talking about what their feelings are around these times, you know. What they're going through and stuff around these times. Well, women, black women in music and stuff has been toward that. And I think it's appropriate because I believe that a lot of black women and women of color, you know, got together and stuff and made up their mind that they wanted to go vote, okay? And either way, And then to get to where we are was an expression. It was an expression of the way they felt. So that's why I threw that in, guys. You know, so, Miss Inez, you could play, you could skip comment and go to Jasmine Sullivan if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back on the other side let's talk about it. So whatever y'all want to do.
And so basically we're just highlighting these women and what they're talking about. Okay. I can play it. I mean, I can play Commitment by Monica and Jasmine. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, it's anywhere y'all want to go. Hey, Miss Inez, it's your ship.
Yes.
Captain got to do.
Okay. We'll play Commitment.
Go ahead on, Captain. All right.
Hey.
Admiral.
All right. I'll do Commitment. Then I'll do Jasmine Sullivan, Girl Like Me, featuring her.
Cool.
Turn it up. Get it loud.
I'm in.
Get proud.
So five, we have breaking news to tell you about this morning.
We are getting some breaking news into us here.
Police are investigating a report.
The department is telling us at this point that one person is in custody.
Monica Brown.
Monica Brown.
Goes by the name of
a
Monica
singer
Brown.
And actress.
It don't take much. A little affection and some of your time. That's all that I'm asking for. Feels like this dream would never come true. I just want somebody who know how to listen and give me attention. Who won't break my heart? sugar, please. I don't need lies. Just show me that you care. Can you be there when I need you most? And when I say I don't, make me feel secure forever. I just need someone to love me when it's hard to. I can trust with all my issues. Someone who is patient and consistent. I need good sex and commitment from somebody loyal, understanding, who won't change up, take advantage of my emotions or my feelings. I need good sex and commitment. I don't want money, I'd rather ever somebody real. I can be myself around who makes me laugh and make me cry, who knows what it means to sacrifice. If I'm having a bad day, you know just what to say. I can show you all my thoughts and where my demons play, and you won't use them against me. You'd rather use them to lift me. Can you be there when I need you most? Make me feel beautiful. Give reassurance forever. I just need someone to love me when it's hard to. I can trust with all my issues. Someone who is patient and consistent. I need good sex and commitment from somebody loyal, understanding, who won't change up, take advantage of my emotions, all feelings. I need good sex and commitment.
Yes, Commitment by Monica. Now we'll hear Jasmine Sullivan, Girl Like Me, featuring her. Not him, but her.
I made a profile on Tinder since you left me to be with her. Think that means I'm getting desperate. Wish I could return to sender, but you don't love me no more. And I don't even know what for. Knew it was real when you blocked me. Now I sit at home judging my body, wondering what I did to lose it. Why in the hell you think choosing? Why you don't love me no more? Yeah. And I don't even know what for. And I just wanted something different. Still don't know what I was missing. What you asked, I would give. It ain't right, I'd either do anything. What if you ain't? Maybe I should look like a stripper, wearing fashion over dresses. All the dudes be so pressed on the past. What if you leave me with no choice? Oh, I can't do this good girl shit no more. You're wanting something different. You don't know what I was missing. What you asked, I would've given.
Make a whole out of me.
Y'all niggas be making a mess.
how'd you get a hold on me? Look what you did, kid. Get a hold on me. See what you did to me.
Yes, sir. Those girls would be going up and down. Those scales would be. It sounds so. That was pretty. That was really nice. Nice choice, Mr. Nice choice, Mr.
Yeah.
Janet has left us, so she's not with us.
Okay, they were hitting. They were hitting those notes. Okay, but. It's the message. It's the message and stuff. You know, I listen
right.
to that and stuff and put myself. Back when I was along 20, 21, they're saying, that's everything they said fit me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that was only yesterday, right?
Right,
Sergeant Park?
Yeah.
You was only 21 yesterday, right?
I'm trying to tell you. My daughter said
for the 13th time.
Said, Dad, I remember when I was 9 years old and I never know what we're talking about. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know.
Yep.
I said, I'll explain that to you guys one day, you know, when we got time. But
okay.
Anyway, yeah, that's the music, okay, that I interpret black women that have a message and stuff, you know. And you can interpret that message any way you want to interpret, but I know when I heard it that I was saying, oh, I need to go run and hide. Okay, because that's where I was headed at the time, okay?
That's funny. That is funny. That's Sergeant Parks for you. But callers 845-241-9985 if you want to join the conversation on Black Music Month. And did you just want to talk about the clips? Sergeant Parks, are you good?
Hey, it's you guys' discussion. I just want to see what you guys, what you're feeling, you know.
Hello?
All good to me. It's all good to me. I mean, I've always liked Jasmine Sullivan, and I love her. I mean, you know, them together, they're just amazing. Just amazing talents together. Just like, When her gets on that guitar, you can't tell her nothing. Can't tell her nothing.
I'm trying to tell you.
But
can't tell her nothing.
Nothing.
That's
go ahead, Bless.
That creates.
I just love her. I love the female entertainers. Like I said, I feel like they come from a place of truth, and you can always hear truth in music.
Right.
You just like you can always tell when somebody lying. Like, oh, they lying. Well, you can feel when somebody's telling the truth when they're telling the story. So I just think she's
correct.
From a real place of truth. And she speaks to the experience of women. You know, sometimes we overlook, you know, the experience of women. Like, I've had women tell me things, and I was like, wow, I never saw it like that. You know what I mean? I never saw y'all as being discriminated against for not having a voice, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
but it's hard. It's hard,
so many times. You just...
It's hard to understand other people in today.
Go ahead, Sergeant. I was just going to say, because we had a backpack, a jetpack on when I was coming up during that time. I couldn't wait to get out of Georgia and just see my way all over the world, you know. So during those kind of times and stuff, I didn't even take time to think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand where that's coming from, and it's much more than that. You know, if you ever see the clip with Ella Fitzgerald and stuff, how she is working all in different lyrics, man. Did you see the bebop, bebop, doo-doo, 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 doo-doo,
doo-doo,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Wow. But that genius has learned. And it's coming right on through today. That's the way I see it.
Yep.
You
know,
yep.
It's still relevant and stuff, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's good. That is, yeah, that is good. That is good. That is good. It's some good entertainment. I'm so glad that we have, I must have a special guest, Bless, on the line with us as he explains
the
music
can,
and his
best
side
believe
and his perspective.
I'm going to be on here all the time putting the word out about this show. I think this show is needed. I think it's needed. I think
it's not always
the
music we talk about.
I mean, any topic.
A real authentic
talk show is what's needed
about.
Now.
There you go. What do you
want
to talk about? What's going to make us relevant? You know, we're not relevant, man, because we haven't used the power of we to do nothing. You know, I'm talking to people and stuff, don't even know our history and stuff. I had a black woman to tell me, why are we always talking about slavery? I wasn't no slave. I'm saying, my God, you know, if you don't know
where did you come from?
How are we going
to
make this?
You don't know how to
you
get through. You
can't relate to that talk. That's how they start. They perform the eminent domain when they got him. Everything that the eyes and ears could see as far as we could throw, key, or whatever, don't belong to us. Eminent domain. And they said, what are we going to do with the black folks and stuff that here? There are 300,000 or 400,000 of us here. You know what they said? Oh, don't worry about them because they're just property. They're livestock.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
You don't have to worry about livestock. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to make a deal like that? What are you telling your kids? You know, you're telling your kids we're irrelevant, and then 2 years after the war was over with, then come to Texas and tell all them people in Texas, all the black folks in Texas, you've been free for 2 years. That's a history of what's happening. You know,
that's crazy.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel. That's the way I feel. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting a little emotional now. Sorry about that, Bliss.
That's okay. You just put the feeling out there like everybody else. And then later on in the show, we're going to talk about Miss Candace Owens. So we're going to keep moving right along here. I'm going to play a couple of commercials, and then we're going to come back on the other side with the song, and then we're going to go into Juneteenth. What does Juneteenth mean to you?
Want to create your new patio before you get your new patio? With the Home Depot, you can jumpstart your spring with the latest power and the best grills around. Get free delivery and pull that new patio together with everything from furniture to spill-proof cushions. It's spring, and today is the day for doing. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
And the Home Depot is where we all love to shop for our home needs, and it's found on the Home Goods tab on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall, or you can just type in Home Depot, and it will take you directly to the Home Depot tab.
Let's Do It Radio. It's looking for you to share your business, events, and topics you feel are important to talk about with us. Let's Do It Radio. Again, if you have a business, idea, or an event, or a topic you feel is important enough to share, bring it to us at Let's Do It Radio. Radio.
That's cool.
And
I
for
really
those
like
of you
it.
Who are out there listening, Oh, that's just talking to us. For those of you who are out there listening, you can call us at 845-241-9985. Again, that's 845-241-9985. You could just tune in to the radio under the Let's Do It radio banner on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall and click the banner and then click on Sergeant Park's face and voila, you are there. I want to play this song before we go into our next set, and you guys are gonna like this song.
Oh, freedom! Oh, freedom! Oh, freedom! Over me. And before I be a slave,
I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom.
Oh, freedom.
Freedom.
Listeners, and Let's Do a Radio Land. Our call-in number is 845-241-9985. We'd love for you to call in and join us today. The song you just heard was Oh Freedom, and the reason we played that song is because what does Juneteenth mean to you? As Sergeant Parks wants to bring attention to Juneteenth, correct, Sergeant Parks?
Yeah, I kind of threw Juneteenth in is because there's a lot of pushback in wanting to declare, you know, Juneteenth a holiday. They're pushing back now. We don't need another federal holiday. Okay, and we don't need this, and we don't need that, you know. So I thought maybe we probably need to talk about Juneteenth, and I would just get everybody's feeling on what you think about it. I know that people I've been knowing been celebrating Juneteenth and stuff almost all my life in the South, you know.
And I did a Juneteenth special, as a matter of fact, that's out there, and I played it. It was Sunday? Saturday. It's out there, so if anybody wants to hear that, it's on the Episodes on Demand, and it's Juneteenth Celebration and Tribute 2021, I think, or something like that. But go ahead.
But what's interesting to me is the fact that it just seems to me, now, you know me, I'm cynical anyway, bullheaded, whatever you want to call me, go shoot me, go ahead and shoot me. But I'm just saying that every time our people people try to get together or get closer or try to go to the water or whatever, somebody don't want that to happen. You know?
There's one somebody Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the pushback in it? You know, that we can't celebrate something. And I know a whole heck of a lot, just like here in Yakima, when we just have our Juneteenth celebration, we have a lot of white folk there, the mayor, the police chief, and everybody else. You know, come there to help us so-called celebrate. Okay, but now somebody talk about making that a national holiday, okay, which happened to be the president making a national holiday. There's a lot of pushback going on, okay?
Well, there was a lot of pushback, and they wanted to make Martin Luther King's birthday a holiday. It's always going to be a lot of pushback because you got to look at the numbers. You know, look at the numbers of the world. Mm-hmm. Look who's the real minority and who's the real majority. It's just that the majority don't control the wealth. But the minority that controls the wealth is worried that the majority will do to them what they did to the minority. That's the real issue. You know?
That's the real deal. And that's why they're taking away voting as well.
It's not about race, guys. Don't get it twisted. No. It ain't about race. It's money. It's all about control.
It's about money. Money is the real racism in this world.
That's right, because you got a lot of brothers out there singing the same tune. Oh, we don't feel this here because Mr. Charlie, you sick. Is we sick, Mr. Charlie? That was Malcolm X. Is we sick, Mr. Charlie and stuff? You know, but that's just to sell their narrative so that they can stay in power and then we can be divided and conquered, you know.
Well,
I'm just saying, 44 million black folks, if we could all contribute and stuff to our selfness in some kind of way to have something coming back to us. I don't care if it's nothing more than the knowledge that we put into our kids so that they can be soundfully, soulfully better, you know.
And how about a bank where we can control what we build and control, you know, control our own destiny, you know, that type of stuff. That's really what
we do have banks out there.
No,
yeah, but
right.
Our banks don't got a bank with $100 million in it.
And
we don't have those.
You know, Inez did the research, listen, she found out that there's 31 black banks in America. Now, 31 black banks in America and stuff. Now, why
Magic Johnson owns one of them.
Why can't we do something to contribute?
And I think one of our
we don't.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But that goes back to the Willie Lynch letter, that if we can keep people separated and apart, they can't unite. It's just like I tell people, if you got a dollar and I got a dollar and we put our dollars together, we got $3. But if we keep those single dollars apart, we can't buy what $3 can buy. And the new racism is money. They don't have to say Spanish people stay out. They just got to say this room is $800. And if you don't
there
have
you
the $800, you can't come in. So they don't have to say they don't have to say Italian people, we don't want you here. They just got to say, oh, it's $2,000 a night. And if you make it so they don't have the jobs and the resources, then you don't have to make it racism. You make it all about monetary. Money is the new racism.
Right.
It controls where you live. It controls what you make, and it controls your life. And people don't
see
that. They really don't see that. That's why they're scared of a lot of these million-dollar rappers, because now they can move in neighborhoods that they didn't want you to live in before. Now they can start businesses, and they can employ their own. And that's power. You got to remember,
there
in the 50s, when they had the civil rights movement, it was a lot of the mom-pop shops that gave money for the movement. You know, a lot of the small black-owned businesses, that's why they wiped them out so they couldn't happen again. You know?
Yeah.
So history, history
black,
is very important, because if you don't know your history, you know, they're going to continue to repeat
you
things.
You don't know nothing.
Amen. I like you, brother.
Not only that, with this Juneteenth being a celebration, okay, they give us Juneteenth, but then yet they're trying to take our voting rights away. So
exactly,
because we've been freed
time
on one end, they're going to take stuff away from us on the other end. So So we, you know,
why is that?
If we do,
why
if
is
we don't,
that?
You know, because they
that's the question.
They're trying to oppress us, repress us, regress us, digress us, disgress us.
They're just trying to delay the inevitable. They're just trying to delay the inevitable, and it's working because we don't have these conversations. Black folks don't have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had these conversations, and then it's trust and respect too. Okay. Because some people
right.
say, oh, well,
right.
I go to Mr. Charlie's store and I spend $100,000 with him in 10 years before I go to your store and spend $5 with you. Okay.
But when they go to your store, they want a discount. Oh, man, you can't hook a brother up, but they go to Mr. Charlie's store and pay triple without a whim.
Sure.
It's all based on.
Right, that's the truth.
Like I was
coming.
Just telling somebody that I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just telling somebody the other day, they were like, wow, I went to look at this diamond ring, and it was X amount of money. I said, a diamond is only worth what you're willing to pay. And that's with any product. Any product is only worth what you're willing to pay. So if black folk got together and said, you know what? Think about when they had that bus boycott. You know, you had black people walking miles and miles and miles in the rain. But they changed the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if we got together and said, you know what? On Tuesday, no black people in America is spending money. You think whatever we were asking for wouldn't change? You don't think that would make a change? So that's why they use money as the new racism. Because if they can
Absolutely.
Keep us separated, and they can keep us in a certain economical situation, then we can't go find out about deferred compensation. We can't go find out about business loans. We can't do that because we're so busy trying to make it till tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to make it till tomorrow,
right.
You ain't trying to think about no retirement plan.
and we're
What's
trying
that?
To trap each other out. We're trying to zero each other out. Okay?
Exactly.
And we're just trying to get out of this barrel and stuff, you know, and pull you down. You know, we can't just say,
the crab.
If we support each other, then that's the way it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this country, that's the way
our
ancestors got along. That's how they survived.
Exactly.
They survived on each other. You know, you can go to Mississippi. And look what he did and stuff with the land, the 40 acres and the mule. They don't believe it. I was talking to this kid and said, you know, there was a policy about 40 acres and a mule and stuff. You know, he said, no, I ain't know nothing about it. How did that happen? I said, yeah, but let me tell you what happened. The black farmers got the land. Once the black farmers got the land and stuff, he had to go someplace and stuff to get feed and get food and stuff to develop the land. They just, at the end of the day, he went and bought a sack of beans and stuff that cost 30 cents and stuff. The man charged $10 and stuff. Now, you think over a period of 3 or 4 years, he owned your land, okay?
Back to economics. Back to economics.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of young kids think 40 acres and a mule is just Spike Lee's production company. I asked a kid about Nelson Mandela the other day. I was like, what do you know about Nelson Mandela?
Mm-mm.
Oh, he was the president of South Africa. That's all they knew. They didn't know the backstory. And see, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to erase the backstory. They erase that he was a freedom fighter and all of that stuff. And they're trying to do that with black history also. They're trying to erase the backstory.
Yeah, because see, the thing about it and stuff is that history do not lie. Okay. It don't lie. So the purpose of them not wanting to put it in the history books because then they had to give some kind of retribution, had to give us a couple of more cents more, okay, for slaves and 24/7 on them, had to give us a
Come
few
on.
More pennies or had to give us something and stuff. This way they ain't got to give us nothing because that
exactly.
foolish attorney general, what he said, I don't know whether y'all heard him, but he said the winners write history, okay? That's what he said.
Okay.
Winners can write history any way they want to write it. And that's what's been
and
happening
they do.
In America. That's right.
They do.
You know.
You know, they got all the kids going to Google for all the answers. Well, let me ask you this question. Who's putting the answers in Google?
There you go.
Who's putting the answers in Google?
Right. And are they correct answers? Okay.
Exactly.
I have a caller. Another caller. I have a chatter, I guess, I don't know, person in the chat room. They said, hey, howdy, y'all. What do you think? What do you think they make Karl Marx Day? And you are right. It's all money. That's what Bitcoin is for. Love the passion I'm hearing. Who is trying to make it hard to vote? COVID was used to make it hard to spend money. Bishop
yep.
Larry Gators uses that crab theory, crabs in the barrel, I think is what they're trying to say.
Yep.
So chat room person and got a Biden
exactly.
face. So I like that Biden face. Yay. And it's you can steal my freedom one. You can't steal my freedom one. So thank you out there for listening, for chiming in. So, I mean, Bitcoins, and, you know, because I had asked about Bitcoins at one point. I had asked a Think Wealth person. They say it's not real money. So, and I want to talk to, and hopefully you can't steal my freedom. You will join us on next Tuesday with our Think Wealth person. He's been doing his wealth, Think Wealth, for like 40 years or whatever. So I would ask him about Bitcoins, because I had another person on and they said Bitcoins was not real money, so therefore it's like nothing. So hopefully we can answer your question that
yeah, evening
about
right.
the Bitcoin port.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I invested know, a little bit in so. Bitcoin. I invested a little bit in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, it's not real money, but what it is
mm-hmm.
the United States or the people in power can't control it either. So,
yep. Right.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. They say if you bought $2,500 in Bitcoin in 2000, in 2021,
mm-hmm.
it would have been worth mm-hmm. $2.4 million. So the,
okay.
the haves don't want the have-nots to know about Bitcoin or even stocks. You know,
yeah.
Cash App, you can do stocks on Cash App. A lot of people don't know that. They have it set up so you can buy
mm-hmm.
stocks. They do all the work for you. You can look up the past 30, 60, close that for me, the last 30, 60, 90, 100, you know. Stocks is the way to go. It's a long-term
mm-hmm.
investment. But like I said, when you're struggling for today, you don't want to hear about no stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hear about a long-term goal. Like I said,
yep.
you're trying to get through today.
Right.
You're trying to get some lights on today. You're trying not to get your power cut off today.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have time
mm-hmm.
To look into that. The problem that I have with Bitcoin is because it's not monitored or regulated, it could disappear tomorrow. Because it's not real or tangible money, you could wake up in the morning and it's gone. There's no building. There's no – so that's the issue
mm-hmm.
I have with it. But I can tell you this. The United States is very, very
mm-hmm.
concerned. There was a national football player. I forgot his name. He wanted half his salary in Bitcoin. So I think it was $600,000,
mm.
and it wound up being $6 million. Man, the IRS went in there and was trying to seize the paperwork.
Ooh.
And because, you know, they don't want their cut. They can't get their cut from Bitcoin. They can't
yeah.
they can't tax it. So that's the issue with Bitcoin. And your speaker can really touch on that. A lot of people need to know about Bitcoin and Dogma
mm-hmm.
and all
mm-hmm.
of these all of these different forms of currency, because you can get rich quick. They had a big thing with GameStop, where some people made, one young brother said he paid his whole college tuition in 3 days when GameStop
yeah,
stock
I
went up.
I remember that.
Yeah,
what happened was a
bunch of bloggers got together and manipulated the stock. Said, hey, let's all buy the stock.
I remember that.
And GameStop, I got part of that too, so I definitely remember that. So GameStop went up from $8 a share to $340 a share. Which meant if you had the money to buy them shares, you got rich. They had one
well, who
guy
was,
that made $6 million.
It was a broker that
huh?
was controlling that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one guy. It wasn't a broker. It was a blogger, believe it or not. He had a big following, and he said, okay, on Tuesday, we all going to bank. So now
mm-hmm.
they raised – what it did is it was, it's what the Wolf of Wall Street did. Did you see that movie? That they manipulated
yeah,
the stock.
The Wolf of Wall
Street. Right,
that was
so now
good.
They're trying to – yep. And if
yep.
you look at GameStop today, I looked at it today, it's still worth almost $300. So anybody that bought into it and held on to it is doing great. The same thing they did with Tesla. Tesla, it started out being like $75 a share. Now it's at $3,500 a share.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you had 100 shares.
That's right.
You know? So, you know, I think black, I think people are getting more savvy to how the haves, and when I say the haves, I mean the 1% of the world that control everything. Like, I hear people talk about Illuminati and the secret society. Yeah, there is an Illuminati, but not what you think. The Illuminati controls money. They control the banks. You know, it's five families that control the banks. The Rockefeller, Kennedys, you know, so... When you control the banks and you control the money, you control the laws and you control the politicians and you control the president. Yeah. The president doesn't really have a lot of power. He's just a puppet. It's the people with money that come to him and say, well, we're not going to back your campaign or we're not going to do this and that, that he has to make those decisions if he wants to stay in power. And that's any president. I'm not talking about black, white, yellow. It's the presidency, period. The Kennedys bought the presidency back in the days. I don't know. People might not know their history. That's why history is so, so important.
That's why he did.
And the Kennedys were the equivalent of drug dealers today. They were bootleggers. Bootleggers were the drug dealers of back in the day.
That's right. The dad was the premier bootleggers, man. He had Irish whiskey coming from coming through Canada. He was the biggest bootlegger you could ever dream of, you know.
Exactly. So you look at the rich people now, they were all mobsters back in the day. So they're the equivalent of what drug dealers are. That's why they're so hard on drugs. Because if you can take somebody and they can hustle and get $6 million, now $6 million can buy them into a lot of places and a lot of conversations that they couldn't go to before. They can understand that instead of buying Jordans, they should be buying real estate and art. You know what I'm saying? They can understand that.
Exactly.
Watch Snowfall. You ever watch
Excellent
that?
Movie.
Oh,
excellent
Snowfall
movie.
Is good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you know, excellent show. And the chat person said the Rothschilds are also big players in banking. So I've heard of the Rothschilds. And so, oh, yeah, definitely.
Rothschilds,
Kennedy. Like I said, there's.
Rothschilds, Kennedy. I'm trying to think.
All of them.
Rothschilds, Kennedy.
Rockefellers.
Rockefellers.
You know, big tycoons that was coming along.
Who are those two girls that made themselves into celebrities? Are they Kennedys? I'm trying to think of their last names.
Kardashians, but not the Kardashians.
Yeah, it's not the Kardashians that I'm talking about, but they're along that line. They're not the Kennedys. It's the Rothschild. Kennedys. Anyway, it's five families. It's five families that's controlled America from the beginning. You know, and like anything, when you control something, you make things happen. So. It's very funny to me when I see the cats on the block saying, this is my block, but you don't own nothing on the block. You don't own the cement. You don't own the building. You don't own – all you own is the blood you shed and the blood you leave when you get killed or you kill somebody. And that's the sad part. If they took that money and got together – if you can be a drug dealer, you can be a business owner because it's all the same concept. It's supply, it's demand, it's advertisement. And people don't look at it like that. A crack dealer has to buy his supply. He has to get it out there. He has to manage his workers. Well, what's the difference between that and Walmart? There is none. There is not a difference. It's the same concept. The same concept.
I'm trying to Google it, but I don't see. I tried to Google who are the five families who control the banks, but I'm not finding it.
Yeah. Let me see if the person in Google. The Rothschilds,
the Olsen
twins. Kennedy.
I was thinking it was the Olsen twins.
No, not the Olsen twins. No, that's not who I'm talking about. But dang it, man. It'll come to me before
the
end of
the
show.
Olsen twins as well.
Yeah.
Let's continue with old money.
Oh, really? No, I was going to say, let's continue with the show.
The music.
Okay.
And the music.
Old money. Let me see.
Okay, today is my grandson.
Can't forget about the Pope, she said, or this person said. Huh?
Okay, today, I'm going to have to depart here.
in a few minutes. This is my grandson's. They got their championship flag football game, and he's standing up here in the doorway looking at Grandpa as he goes, get me.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
You go, so, okay, you're just going to leave. So what about the Hiltons? Was it the Hiltons?
The Hiltons, yes. The Hilton sisters, that's what I'm talking about. So it's the Hiltons, the Rothschilds, the Kennedys. Somebody Hilton, her sister, yes. That was who I was talking about.
Okay.
So that's three of them. It's the Rothschilds, the Kennedys, the Hiltons. I want to say, so
well,
two more.
This,
come on,
this,
listeners.
This
help me figure out
murder.
The last two.
This guy is being tried for murder now. What family is he from? The one that's being tried for murder, killed his woman back in 2000, Dirts, something. He's a part of one of them he's a Harris to one of them families.
You know,
Dirks?
Robert Dirts. Is at the Rockefeller? Was he a Rockefeller? No, I don't think he was a Rockefeller.
He wasn't a Rockefeller.
But he's one of the big families and stuff.
Hey, I got a tidbit for you, Inez. Do you know the guy on CNN?
Uh-huh.
The white guy. He's a Rockefeller. Let me see. What's his name? He's gay.
Okay.
He had a baby.
This guy. His mama just died right and then left him.
What's his name?
Anderson. Anderson Cooper.
He's a Rockefeller. See, a lot of them have changed their last names.
Yeah.
But, he's a Rockefeller.
That's
yes,
right.
He is. I found that out just within the last year.
I knew it for a couple years, but he just made it. It just became public when his mom died.
Yeah.
So a lot of those families have changed their names and converted, but you know, it's still that old money out there, and that old money is more powerful than the new money. You got new millionaires, but these Rockefellers, their generational wealth will go 100 generations.
I'm trying to tell you, still going strong and stuff, boy.
Wow, that's true. That is true.
Okay,
that is so true.
So, Miss Inez, let's play. Play this Candace Owens deal. You know, the jury's still out as far as I'm concerned on her. I'm still trying to figure out where she's coming from, Bliss. Yeah, you might be able to.
She ain't wrapped too tight.
Where she's coming from, but she is. She's a question. She's a person of interest. Put it like that. So
definitely
let's
a person.
She's
of
a
interest.
Questionable person of interest.
Yeah,
and she
let's
opposes her opposition to Juneteenth.
Political
yeah,
commentator Candace Owens voices her opposition to Juneteenth. Candace Owens calling Juneteenth's aim in America wouldn't have benefited from the Emancipation Proclamation. Non-white conservatives really will say any stupid shit just to get a high five from their crack rover lords. The fact that Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens see Juneteenth as based on race and repackaged segregation just goes to show that they don't think the end of slavery is a thing white people can or should celebrate. Candace Owens is married to a racist, right? And she seems to enjoy dancing to the tune of white supremacists. She needs to take a look in a mirror. Candace Owens' job is to troll black people on serious race issues on behalf of whites. In fact, it's a well-paying job for her. At this point, no one should even be seeing her tweets because she should be blocked. She'll always do what she's paid to do. I'm sickened by the fact that on such a historical occasion as Juneteenth becoming a holiday, we've allowed Candace Owens to be the loudest voice. She's paid to be the flamethrower for the extremist right wing. They were using a black face to carry their message of hate. Candace Owens thinks celebrating Juneteenth and the abolition of slavery is bad. When do we set aside our racism and toss her into the same bin of toxic irrelevance as the Richard Spencers of the world?
That tracks me. Juneteenth is supposed to be Juneteenth, but I think it's a computer talking.
Like
but
British. Sound like she was British or something. You know?
No, it's like a computer.
You guys heard of Jason Riley?
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with him.
Okay, so but I'm not gonna break the snow off. But just go in and then just sample what he's saying, and then Thomas Sowell has a more intellectual type of deal on the way they dance around, you know, the simple subject and stuff. You know, they go back and go back to the places where during the turn of the century, black folks and stuff had 53% of black folks married. Now there's something like 10% of black folks married. Where that's going, you know, I'm saying, wow, you know.
That's by design, though. That's part of the design.
But his theory, though, is just put out. That book he made, all these books that he's making, is just for the intellectual people, you know. If people are sitting around and then thinking theory, okay, instead of thinking reality, okay, what's the reality now? You know, I would hope that people would be trying to, black folks would be trying to talk about, you know, how can we sit down and talk to each other? Because God knows we got the worst relationship than any God's creatures, okay? But that don't seem to be the place and stuff. I don't even see many NFL players. Some of them are coming around, but they're young now. They just want the bling. But, yeah, these people are really something. Read Jason Riley, just a little bit about it.
Oh, so Jason Riley.
Just see what I'm saying. Yeah, Jason Riley, Jason L. Riley.
I thought you said Mason.
You know, no, Jason. So, you know, read a little bit about it. Hey, guys, I'm going to have to sign off now.
Are you gonna cut out?
Pleasure meeting you, sir.
Hey,
pleasure
man,
meeting
nice
you.
Nice meeting you too, man. Hey, if you come on my show anytime, you know.
Or I'll be here every week. You best believe that.
Yeah. Tell me what you want to hear. What you want to do? You know. That's where it rolls and stuff. It ain't just what I come up with. I just want something that we can equate and we can talk to. You know, talk about. You know, I had this brother and stuff that was supposed to show up. He created a group back in Los Angeles and stuff in 1960-something. I had never heard of the group. He told me to Google it, to go back and find it. I've been knowing this brother here 20 years here in Yakima, and I seen his name, and I started looking this stuff and seeing his name, and they actually had a group. I said, well, how the damn? So I tried to get him to come on, Bliss. He's like you, you know. Well, no, he's not so musically inclined like you. He was like got these brothers together, and he like was they producers and promoting them. You know, he's actually an electrician and stuff. But hey, man, it's so amazing and stuff. And hey, Inez again, thank you, sister. I really appreciate you.
And you know, the person from the chat room says, hope there is a win tonight for your grandson. I believe that's what they're saying.
Well, you know.
You hear me?
We'll have to talk about that at a later time because the teams that they be going up against, they ain't supposed to win. Okay?
Oh.
They ain't supposed to win. They won every game except their first game. I mean, they went out there kicking butt, and everybody said, damn, these kids in. Because they're a mixed team, man. They even got some girls on their team can run and run faster than any boy, you know. But anyway, I love you guys. Hey, bruh.
All right.
We will be talking. Miss Inez.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Take it home, sister. Take it home, sister.
Yes. All right, because we were talking about what does Juneteenth mean to you, so we'll listen to that clip, and then what is Juneteenth, and then we'll, you know, talk a little bit about that, and then we could, just converse about whatever we want to converse about. So let's hear about what does Juneteenth mean to you or to these people on this here.
All righty.
Hold on, it just takes a while sometimes.
But Juneteenth means to me is a step in the right direction for black liberation. It's unfortunate that we still have a ways to go. However, Juneteenth is a day for celebration. All black lives matter.
Juneteenth represents history promoting purpose.
Juneteenth to me represents strength and endurance of our people.
Juneteenth to me represents our ability to come together.
Juneteenth represents the recognition of black voices.
Juneteenth to me represents black perseverance and willpower.
Juneteenth means freedom and progress towards equal opportunity for all.
Yay! I got the flag passed to me. Hi, my name is Victoria Solomon, and what Juneteenth means to me is a celebration of the freedom of my ancestors. So for a long time, I really didn't even know about Juneteenth. I was never taught about it in grade school, and I only found out about Juneteenth a couple of years ago, and it was actually shocking to me to find out that so many freed people were still enslaved after the emancipation. So Juneteenth is definitely a day to celebrate, and it's really near and dear to my heart. So that is what Juneteenth means to me, and I'm going to pass the flag on to the next person. Here you go.
As a Native Texan, Juneteenth has been known to me as Texas Emancipation Day. In 1980, Texas became the first state to declare Juneteenth a state holiday. Texas continues to request that Juneteenth become a national holiday. For me personally, this shows a reflection upon our past and how far we have come, and also about our willingness and our tenacity to continue to change and improve for the better. I'm honored to be a part of the celebrations for this great day.
On behalf of the Philadelphia AAN chapter and allies, happy Juneteenth.
Okay. Then we'll play what Juneteenth means.
Some of you may not be aware of this, but America actually has two Independence Days. One celebrates America's freedoms from Britain's rule. Another holiday, Juneteenth, commemorates the day when a Union general came into Texas and gave an order that actually ended slavery. Now, you may be going to yourself like, wait, didn't Emancipation Proclamation take care of that? And my answer to you is this. You actually thought the Confederate States obeyed the law. Okay, sure. On January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln declared all slaves held in Confederate states to be freed. But that news never reached the Texas slaves, and there's many theories as to why. Maybe someone literally murdered the messenger that was sent to Texas to inform them. Maybe, in typical Confederate fashion, they withheld some information from the slaves. Some historians believe that since the Civil War wasn't over yet, that the lack of Union Army presence in Texas made it hard for Lincoln's proclamation to be enforced. Nonetheless, it was cotton-picking business as usual in Texas despite the proclamation. Some slave owners in neighboring states moved their slaves to Texas because they thought that the Confederate Army would eventually win the war, and when it was over, they could get their property back. So when Union General Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas with Union soldiers behind him, and he saw all of these slaves, he decided to make an announcement on June 19, 1865. First off, a proclamation was made from the president to free all these slaves 2.5 years ago. Second off, you are no longer slave owners and slaves. You are employers, and those are your hired workers. Some slaves zipped out of there before Granger could even finish his announcement. Other slaves decided to go and leave the state so that they could repair their families that were torn apart from the slave trade. Others decided to flee up north. and they live happily ever after, right? No, of course not. By law, they were free men and women. But in reality, they were enslaved by oppression and violence. Black bodies still hung from the branches. Some were even shot for their freedom. But freed men and women wanted to celebrate that they were just that, freed. They created a holiday that was originally called June the 19th, but then it was kind of squeezed together and now it's Juneteenth. When they wanted to celebrate the first annual Juneteenth, segregation laws forbade them from using public spaces. Okay, that's fine. We'll celebrate near rivers and lakes. They dressed in the fanciest clothes so they can combat laws that required them to wear raggedy clothing. They ate barbecues, sung spirituals, preached religious sermons. Strawberry soda was the drink of choice, and they also ate a lot of ripe fruits and desserts like strawberry pie and red velvet cake to commemorate the blood that was spilt during slavery. These rituals still occur in today's Juneteenth celebrations, whether it be parades, cookouts, or five-day festivals. And since whites didn't want to share their own spaces with blacks, the blacks decided that they would raise their own funds for their own celebration sites, such as Emancipation Park in Houston, Texas. So as the former Texas slaves decided to migrate across the country, so did the importance of Juneteenth, which is also known as Emancipation Day or Freedom Day. In 1980, Texas was the first state to declare Juneteenth a state holiday when state offices are not closed, but partially staffed. So far, 45 states have recognized the historical significance of Juneteenth. Guess what? Alabama wasn't last this time. Alabama was the 40th state to do so. But it didn't get the same paid state holiday status as Confederate Memorial Day or Robert E. Lee Day. There's also a national campaign to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. Whitewash textbooks didn't, and still don't, mention Juneteenth. Because of that, a lot of people are still finding out about Juneteenth. So whether you found out about Juneteenth decades ago, a few weeks ago, or even just now, don't worry. There'll be plenty of cookouts, parades, and festivals to celebrate the resiliency of the black community. I'm Star Dunnigan with Reckon. If you like what we're doing, please follow Reckon by AL.com.
Mm-hmm. So, to my people who are still with me, okay. Wade is still with us. Do you have anything to say about what you've been hearing tonight, Wade? I know you had to leave for a minute.
Who are you still listening to?
Okay, he's a listener. To Wade?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he usually listens. He likes to absorb the information that's sent. So do you have anything to talk about, Bless? On Juneteenth?
The article pretty much said it all, you know? It's sad that the news didn't get to them. I can only imagine how they felt knowing that they were still working as indentured servants when they were actually free. That must have been so frustrating and
right.
So demoralizing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And see, that's just it. They were told 2 years later, 2 years later. That's like, wow, all that free slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. Not for me. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm good. I'm good. I am good. But no, it's good. It's good that we have this day, but in the long run, what will it accomplish? Because they're trying to take our voting rights away. So what's the difference? You know,
exactly.
What's the difference? We win on one side, but yet lose on another side. So is there a difference?
It's
not really.
It's definitely all
not really
do.
At
it's
all.
Something in front of your eyes shiny, but then they're really stealing everything
mm-hmm.
out of the
park. Or put a roadblock up that says, okay, which way do I go? How do I get around this? And it's just, people are just trying to keep us down, trying to take the voting away from us, trying to take this away from speech away from us. They're just trying to silence us, and we're not having it. I'm sorry, we're not going to sit down for this.
I think it's a little different this time because of so many young people being awakened. Because we truly don't have any leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't, back in the 60s, you had Martin, you had Malcolm.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can't name three leaders today. that. I mean, and I pretty much follow news and current events and everything. But now it seems like the kids are taking the helm, and they're becoming the young leaders. And I think that's where the difference is. They're becoming involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the difference is. And Juneteenth will become a federal holiday, just like Martin Luther King. But we're going to have to put the work in.
It is a federal holiday.
Given to them. Juneteenth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Juneteenth is a federal holiday?
It was, yes. They just wrote it into they just wrote it into the other day as President Biden did.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. Okay, so let me see. Confusion. I believe in only two holidays: the day our Lord's Son was born and the day His sacrifice for our sins. So, okay, I can go for that. I mean, you know, because everything else is, they call it the pagan holiday, or, you know, just like, okay. So she believes in Easter, and she believes in Christmas.
That's a whole different conversation. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, that is. And that's something that, you know, as we say, as our listeners, I like, you know, if you want to bring up and talk about it, that's what we're here to do. We're here to hear from the people and hear from what they want to talk about. So if that's what you want to talk about at one point in time.
With the Bible, there's a lot of missing pages. You know, they found parts of the Bible, or they call it the lost scrolls, that kind of contradict a lot of stuff. You know, I say believe what you believe, what gets you through the day and what gets you through tomorrow, and, you know, hope that you do enough to get wherever you want to go. But, you know, religion is a form of control, any religion. I'm not saying one religion. It's just a form of control. It's like, don't raise no hell when you down here. Just wait till you die and get where you're going, and everything will be okay. And, you know, I just have an issue with that. I want it to be okay down here, just in case I don't get where I'm supposed to go. You know what I mean?
Well, let's pray you do.
Just in case I don't make it.
That's funny. That is funny.
What's the old saying?
That is so
What's the
funny.
Old saying? Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
No. Mm-mm. Not at all. Not. You're so funny. Not at all. No one wants to die. It says, out of all the promises of reparations, health care, better education, they give us Juneteenth, is nothing but a distraction. I like that.
Exactly.
So she's
exactly.
right.
Shiny
I don't know
ball,
if it's
a
female or a male. So, dangling in front of us like
ball.
A carrot, so we could try to, so we could try to reach for it and never achieve it, and then, you know, we turn around.
Spend all that time, money, and effort.
Stop complaining.
Man, we should really be fighting for reparations.
Right.
That's power. That's the power.
Yeah, that's
there.
What this person is saying.
That money.
It's a male.
He's absolutely right.
Thank you, sir. He. It's
absolutely
a he.
Right. Oh, absolutely right. Absolutely.
Because it's it is. They just give us something as. But again, a pacifier, you know, to pacify us for the moment, and then they rear up something else on the other side. It's like, really? Who does that?
That's just like what they did with this president, Trump. I mean, he was making all these crazy things, but people didn't know that he was placing these federal judges in different positions that's going to hurt us
in
for
place.
Years because most people go to the federal courts for relief. But if these federal judges are just Trump flunkies, then we're not going to be able to get any relief.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the real issue. But
that's
he was on his shenanigans and saying all this crazy stuff, and we were focusing on that, not realizing that he's placing these judges, you know, and they're lifetime appointees in these positions to make rules.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that was that whole situation, too. So that's another story, too.
But it's, you know, we just have to live in this world and try to get through it until our day of transition, our transitioning day, because we can, you know, we can be the Cindy Lou Who
and, you know, mm-hmm. be that quiet voice and be loud at one point, but we need to join our voices and join together, because one person, it can make a difference, you know, if it's the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Can make a difference if it's the right person.
Tupac said he's not going to be here to spark the change, but he's going to spark the mind that's going to spark the change, you know, and that's so true.
There you go. And so he true. Has. He has. He definitely has. He definitely has. And that's a good thing.
Very good thing.
That's right. That's so true. So anybody else have any comments? Anything they want to talk about? Wade, do you have anything you'd like to say? I know you're my little quiet bird out there.
Yeah, ready?
Wade? Okay, we did get another caller. Let me see who this caller is. Hold on.
Hello,
caller 6461. Would you please let us know who you are and where you're calling from, please?
Sure. This is Bobby Jackson. I'm from Wake Plains, Maryland.
Hey,
welcome, sir.
Mr.
Welcome.
Jackson. How you doing? Yeah.
All is well. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Thank you. Mr. Jackson is another
good.
One of my friends who joins us on occasion. So what we've been talking about this evening is Black Music Month. And we've been talking about the different, you know, musics and stuff like that. And we have Bless on the line. We have Wade on the line. And then in the chat room, we have You Can't Steal My Freedom. So I'm having a whole male panel. It's wonderful. This is really unusual, because usually it's all females and just one male. So we're at the point where we're just talking about
now.
Juneteenth. Hey, that's a
I
good
guess
thing.
The word is
that's
getting out.
Thing.
We don't want no female war
yes,
panel.
Sir.
We want to be included, too.
Well, we've been trying to get the males included, but it's like, you know, they're slowly trickling in, and I just really appreciate the men coming on, because we was talking about for a relationship, having a he said, she said, you know, night, you know, having men and women join in with the he said, she said night. And this depends on the topic of he said, she said. No fighting, no cat fighting, no dog fighting. We just want to be, you know, come together and talk about some things and about how the masters feel about certain topics and what have you. So, and I may do that because one of our people who was on tonight, she wants to take a break for the month of July. So I may do a he said, she said, or, you know, bring some controversy in to see if I can't rub some people the wrong way, the right way, or just anyway. So that's what we're talking about. That is what we're talking about. But thank you. But Mr. Jackson, do you have any comments on how do you feel about Juneteenth, you know, now that it's a holiday?
Well, I think it's a good thing. It's a long time coming, but it's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to open the eyes of a lot of people.
You think so? Because we have the in the chat room, it's You Can't Steal My Freedom one. He says, talking about basically the dangling fruit in front of our face, that it's nothing but a distraction. They give us Juneteenth, but it's nothing but a distraction, as the promise of reparation, health care, and better education, and we still haven't gotten to those goals yet. And so they just give us Juneteenth, but it's nothing but a distraction. So here's a crumb, be happy and stop complaining. That's what he's saying. So which I, you know, as we were speaking earlier. True. We do have to start, but I mean, if we're going to give it to us, give it to us good, you know, and quit playing with our emotions, because that's basically, hey, yay, we got our own. It's like, did we really? And you're going to take away our freedom to vote? Is that really what you want? To be repressed again? No. Because that's the direction that they're going. That's where they're going. So, So I just think that, you know, they're trying to, you know, pacify us, as I said earlier, until something else comes up, and then we raise up our heads and say, you know, we don't like this. So that's how I feel. That's how I feel. So any other comments about this evening's show? We have Bless. the gentleman in the chat room says, how many years we've been waiting for better education for our kids? Well, I'm one age, okay, so I know we've been waiting that long, and so no telling how much longer before then. So at least 80 years, if not longer, but way too long is what he said. So that is true. I don't think we'll ever get better education, but it's what education are they trying to give to us? Because they don't educate us properly, not at least the, you know, they don't give us history like it should be given.
I think that
so that's
the
how
problem
I
is we're waiting. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for somebody to give us something. Didn't Dr. Kumi Cuomo start his own school in Washington,
Cuomo?
D.C. or someplace?
Cuomo,
you know what I'm
or
Dr.
Chris, not Chris,
Black
but
gentleman.
Mike, what is his name? Cuomo?
That's not Cuomo. Cuomo. I don't remember his name, but I know he's a psychologist. And he started his own school, and the school is doing very well. And I believe we should start our own school and our own businesses and stop waiting for somebody to give us something. That's the problem. If you wait for somebody to give you something, you put them in control of your destiny. You know, these Republican and Democratic political parties, they ask for people to give any amount, $1, $2, and they get millions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
So why can't we do that? Why can't we all send in $5 and put it to something and get our own situation going? We all spend more than $5
That's
a day,
true.
I'm sure.
Let me see here. If I
we
can find out who you're talking about.
We always wait for somebody to give us something.
Right. And that's just it. We and like we're crabs in a barrel. We're waiting for somebody to either, you know, get us out that barrel, but we won't, you know, get on each other's shoulders to help each other out either.
And look back and pull us back when we get out. A lot of people get out and leave leave everybody else behind.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true. That's true.
It's 44 million black people in America. So if each person gave a dollar, that would be 44 million. I think we could make a hell of a change with $44 billion, you know?
Right. That's true. That's true.
But that won't happen because we're worrying about who gonna control the money and what they're going to do
and that's
that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Was it Greg Coleman?
Mm-mm, it's Dr.
Does that sound familiar?
Cuomo Pelagi or something like that. I got to look it up.
Oh, okay. And that's what
Dr.
I'm trying to do. I love to Google. Okay. I'm looking. Let me see.
He be on YouTube all the time. He be doing motivational speaking.
Okay.
Man, it's making me mad. I can't remember his name.
King
what
Randall?
What happens when you get old, I guess.
Who's it?
Huh?
King Randall? I don't know if that's the person who they're thinking this is. We pay tax for public education. Stop taking my taxes and I'll put it to a building, our own school. Hey,
exactly.
They be taking some taxes now. They take some taxes. They do take some taxes. 21-year-old builds charter school for young black boys in Georgia.
That's good, but this doctor set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
He set the tone by doing it, and a lot of people are following his example. It's a charter school in Washington, D.C., and I know when I say the name, you're going to know who he is. He does a lot of speaking. He's on everybody's show, and he addresses the black plight. And, he brings up a lot of valid points, you know?
Is he with Kwame?
Yeah, Kwame.
I think I know who you're talking about because I think he's in what is that book? Not the Jet, but Ebony. He's in Ebony a lot.
Yes.
DC.
And he's on a lot of the hip hop morning shows. Dr. Kwame something.
First black school in DC. Let me see. Hold on. It's still not coming up with the person's name, but
right. They ain't gonna let it come up because they don't want people to know about it.
You know that's right, because on Google it should be like the first thing. It's a doctor, DC doctor who started the first black school, and it's not coming up.
Nah, he's probably blacklisted because he's deep. You know, he cut into some situations, and he brings up a lot of valid points. Like, he brings up the fact that when they broke up the black family, they destroyed a whole economical group, you know, and he talks about just our mindset. Like, we have no real knowledge of self. Like, I think I was talking to you about it. We don't even know the inventions that we came up with. So if you don't know how great you are, how can you be great? You know, if you don't know that you come from a gifted people and a rich history, how are you going to be rich? If you only go by what somebody else tells
right.
you who you are. Who you are and what you should be, you know?
That's true. That is so, so true. Let me go back to my call. Let's see. Oh, Kwame Brown.
Yes.
Is that it? Thank you.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Chat Person, Mr. Kwame Brown, thank you. It says Black Enterprise. That's right. It was Black Enterprise and not Ebony. It says www.blackenterprise. Let me just thank you. Blessings to you. Okay,
thank you, Paula.
It's a 21-year-old. Yeah, 21-year-old. See, and I'm a Googler, and it's like it's not coming up. But when you said Kwame, that just sounds familiar. Black Enterprise, 21-year-old builds charter school for young black boys, but it's in Georgia. But Kwame Brown is, I think this person is, you're right, Kwame Brown.
Yes,
Kwame Brown, this is out the unadulterated truth, 12-year NBA. That's him?
Yes,
okay.
That is.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Speaks
mm-hmm.
on a lot of relevant topics and brings up the truth. I mean, he talks about economic. He talks about, you know what he said? He said every other race believes in marriage, but they make
mm-hmm.
black people think that women don't need men, that they're independent. And he said, you see, Spanish people, they're joined up. White people, Chinese people, everybody else believes in marriage, but they got us believing. And a lot of women I hear say this, I don't need a man. Well, I could do it all myself.
They do.
Well, how do your boy children become men without being around men or seeing men?
Exactly. They don't have any male influences.
Not only that,
they
I had that
have
issue.
Any male
I came up in a single parent home, and
okay.
I never saw the family dynamic, so I thought making a lot of money was
mm-hmm.
being a good man. But my son doesn't know I made a lot of money. He was,
mm-hmm.
Right. He remembers me being at his basketball game, or me and him going to lunch, or, you know, seeing the interaction between me and his mother. And that's how you learn how to be a good mother or a good father. You know, you can't know something you've never seen, just like you can't be held accountable for knowledge you don't have. So if you don't know about Juneteenth, I can't be mad at you that you don't celebrate it or honor it. It's only once I inform you and you continue to be ignorant and unknowledgeable that I can hold you accountable for your actions. How do you know how to be a good mother if you've never seen a good mother? How do you know how to be a good father if you've never been around good fathers? And it's up to the older generation not to turn their back on these young cats and be like, they just ignorant. Yeah, they're ignorant because they have no knowledge themselves. If you told them maybe how it was in the older days, or how we got dressed up to go to church, or even dressed up to get on the airplane.
Uh-huh.
I remember having to put on a suit and tie as a child to fly, you know?
Really?
Now, getting dressed up, I remember my grandmother taking me, and we had to wear like we were going to church to get on the airplane. I think if you ask older people, they'll tell you. You had to get dressed up to go on the airplane. Now, you could see anything on the airplane and everything.
Child, you see everything on the airplane, that's for sure. The chat room, You Can't Steal My Freedom says, King Randall shows that at 21 years old, he has made the nearly impossible possible. And that is so true. That is so true. We can do anything. And we only make it that way. You know what? If you take the first two letters of impossible, what does that say? I am possible. So that's how I look at it. I am possible. Not impossible. Yes. I am possible.
If you want to enslave somebody, enslave their mind and their thoughts. Enslave their mind and thoughts, and they're not capable of doing anything. You know, you got people that come, there was a guy that came out of jail that was a investing guru. Like, he came out of jail and made millions of dollars investing in the stock market. Actually, he made millions of dollars while he was in jail investing in the stock market. And the guards and everybody used to come. I can't remember these names. Next time you come on, I'll have a list of names of the people I'm talking about. But, you know, I think people are so caught up. I think a lot of our minds are imprisoned and a lot of our minds are enslaved. And we're told that we can't do it so much that we buy into it. And, that's the sad part because people can do anything they want. You know, if you want to learn how to make something, you're going to figure out how to do it, whether it's go to a cookbook or ask grandma. It's even like family reunions. We don't even know who our family is anymore because we don't have that family reunion.
No.
You know, you don't know who your cousins are or who your aunties are because the families are so broken up and fractured over the stupidest thing, you know? Over the stupidest thing. So how are you gonna be something if you don't know who you are? How are you gonna
exactly
become great if you don't know how great you already are? You know? So that's
it's hard to do that, like you said, because your mind is blocked.
Set up for failure.
Well, we're going to change the world, y'all. That's all I got to say. We're going to make some changes, some big changes. Hopefully through this radio station, the Let's Talk, Let's Do a Radio, because I like the caller, I don't even know what to call, in the chat room, the gentleman in the chat room, we're talking here, and it says, Kwame is bringing older and younger generations together to learn from each other. And he says, I like that. I am possible. There's nothing impossible. It's I am possible.
Yes.
So I appreciate that. That was nice. Thank you, fine sir. So, it's been a great show. I'm glad for my callers. I'm glad for my chat room buddy.
And we're glad for you for making it possible and giving people the platform to speak out and to be honest with themselves and honest with their callers and to learn from their callers.
Right.
You know, I've learned a lot tonight that I didn't know, and I want to thank you for making that possible. You know what I'm saying? You're the star.
You're
the spark that's going to change the world because you're bringing people together, alike, people that are alike, And who knows? People mm-hmm. like this might link up or might start a fund or might start a nonprofit and just ask everybody to donate mm-hmm. a dollar and divert it to something positive.
And,
you know?
And you know what? We do have a donation button on doitallinthemall.com. Which we can, you know, say, hey, I want this designated for boom. You know, that way we can mm-hmm. start a fund and maybe even start mm-hmm. our own Black Wall Street again, because we have 5,000 stores in there. And then when you shop, you know, we get a commission that goes back into mm-hmm. our communities and everything. And so, you know, if we could do that, that would be, you know, just talk about the radio show and talk, you know, have people – come in, you know, they don't have to stay for the whole time.
Yeah,
a lot of times we don't even get through, you're right, we don't even get through all of our topics. I mean, I had music because I usually play music because we don't go through the whole thing. So I have like a ton of music that was going to play after, but I'd rather have a discussion, and you could always play music. So that's not a problem.
Yep.
But he said, again, I feel comfortable what is being discussed, so I appreciate that comment as well. And if there's anything that somebody would like to discuss, as I had explained to him, we have the Think Wealth on Tuesday, every other Tuesdays, and Dr. Ralph Steele, who I believe owns a bank, he is our speaker on every other Tuesday, and he will be coming on this Tuesday. And I want to think we'll be talking about generational wealth. So you can't steal my freedom. Hopefully you'll join us on that day. And it's only about an hour because we only talk about an hour, and he usually does all the talking. So get in early and greet us and say, hey, Dr. Steele, you know, this is what I have for on Bitcoin, can we discuss, you know, that? Or maybe we can even have a day where we discuss Bitcoin. So I just let him do what he does, and I just, you know, be there as a sounding board and then have people call in and ask questions as well. So I just appreciate everybody calling in, and this was a good evening. So I just appreciate all my mens with me. I got all my mens with me. So, but we've had some pretty good topics, and you're always welcome to go, like I said, to do it, the homepage of Do It All in the Mall, and then go to the right-hand side, and it's Let's Do It banner, and you can click on that and see some of the other topics that have been spoken. We have Sunday services, and we have different speakers on different Sundays, and we have Tuesdays, we have Miss Janet, who you heard today. And we talked about artists who changed history. And that was a good one because we talked about the Renaissance as we did this evening, and Josephine Baker and Ethel Waters and Langston Hughes and the first Black indie filmmaker, which was Oscar Michaud. And so that was really good. I just wish we can work on the vote issue. I think the media has a little influence. And yes, they do. They have a lot of influence, and, you know, depending on who's doing the media and who you listen to is how you get influenced. So we ourselves can be our own media and start talking about and being our own voice to make our own influence, because once we start that cog and that wheel, hey, you know, we can make a lot of noise, and that's how the changes start. And that's how we did a lot of changes as far as the voting down in Georgia, because thank God for Stacey Abrams, you know.
Thank God.
Yes, and she said, he said, I just wish we can work. Oh, okay, we said that. Great show, and yes, I will make it a priority to listen to the program. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we do, we have, what else do we have? We have Think Wealth. We have Keeping History Alive. We have on tomorrow night, if you guys just like to, thank you. If you all just want to listen in, we have this gentleman. His name is Lee Alston, and it's called Late Night with Lee Alston. And he's out of Freeport, Texas, but he's from South Carolina, and he plays Gullah Soul music. And that's really cool. It's really fun. It's really a lot of fun. And that's Late Night with Lee. And that starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m.
Mountain, 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's why it's called. You can call me Joe. Hey, Joe. Joe Biden, number two. JB2 is what I want to call you, JB2. And then Sunday we have our church service. Reverend Ronnie Marshall will be speaking this Sunday. And then next week, on next Tuesday, as I say, Dr. Ralph Steele talking Think Wealth. And it's at the 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock, whatever I am, Eastern. Wednesday is Bible study. Thursday, I don't know if Sergeant Parks is going to be on next Thursday. And then Friday, we talk about vitiligo. And so we have a vitiligo gentleman whose name is Perry Whaley, and we bring Vibin to the vitiligo community. And this, starting tomorrow, is, well, this whole month is vitiligo month, and they have vitiligo world dates tomorrow through the 27th. And if you don't know what vitiligo is, it's a skin condition or a disorder or a dis-ease where your melanin starts, you know, I'll say fading. But we have some good shows, and it's not just, yeah, and yes, and that is why it's, we call World Vitiligo Day on June 25th, because that is the day that Michael Jackson passed away. And so that was how that got to be known as World Vitiligo Day. So a lot of people who have vitiligo and who don't have vitiligo come together. And because a lot of people stare at them like they have leprosy, or they call them cows or mud, you know, so it's, they just a lot of name calling, which is not, which is unnecessary. And they're just beautiful people. They are just, you know, their skin is just, you know, changing. And so we welcome them, and it's wonderful. I just have a good time with them, and I just appreciate them. And so we have the vitiligo community who calls in sometimes, and that shows the hour as well. So we have everything. The only days we don't have something is Monday and Saturday. And we're supposed to be doing something for the children on Saturday, which is called Happily Ever After Show. So if anybody has children, we should be starting that soon. And so they'll be able to listen to movies for 2 to 3 hours on Saturdays, which will be programmed, and they can listen to them at any time. So we try to have something for the children as well. So that's basically how our show is. And so the rundown. So every week is different. We have different people each week. So this week we have a group of people, and the next week we have another group of people. So I just really appreciate everybody tuning in, listening in, and I'm going to see if Wade has anything to say. He's my quiet person. Wade, do you have anything to say? No. No, he gets quiet. He doesn't say too much. He likes to absorb information. But I appreciate Mr. JB, too, Joe Biden. So I just really thank you guys for calling in. It made it such an interesting evening. And I'm trying to type as fast as I can and read to everybody. So thank you. And this is where I play music softly, and then basically I've already talked about everything. So does anybody else have anything they'd like to speak on the last 6 minutes of our show today? Or is there the topics you'd like for us to bring that we can bring? I know JB talked about the Bitcoin, so I can I'm going to let you talk to Dr. Steele, JB. That's your new name, is JB. Go ahead.
Hello? I hope that Dr. Steele can explain how money works. I don't think people understand that if they just,
Go ahead.
Me?
Yes, boss.
I don't think that people understand that if they put $100 in the bank and left it for 30 years, how compound interest works. And if they would just add another $10 and another $10. I think if people understood how money works and how credit works, then they would be able to access it like like other people and be able to get loans or to build generational wealth. Because if two generations save money, then you will put the third generation mm-hmm. in a position to come into money and to be able to make moves. So I think a lot of our problem is we don't understand how the system works. Because we don't understand how the system works, once again, we're locked out of it, you know?
Right, right. And he does discuss that because mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be doing that with him, giving him an amount of money and then putting mm-hmm. it and leaving it there for 10 years and let it draw the interest, mm-hmm. and I'll be 110 by that time, so that it can grow. And so, mm-hmm. yes, he does discuss that. He's very, I won't say succinct, but he's very descriptive, and he breaks it down as far as how money works. So he does discuss how money works. And, you know, if you just put a certain amount away, leave it there. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he said the best way for your money to work for you is what we are doing, and that is being entrepreneurs. Because mm-hmm. you don't have to work a 9-to-5, 8-to-5, or whatever job. You can work for yourself and become 110 years old money means nothing. Yes, you can. And that's how I won, because it's like, hey, you work for yourself and you become an entrepreneur. You can make things happen. You can make your money work.
You can employ people.
And exactly. And help them. That is correct. That is so correct. That is so correct.
Why should you work
so,
for other companies and build Coca-Cola and build Walmart and you can't even get your son or daughter a job there? So if you're going to take that effort to build that company, why not take the same effort to build your own company where you can employ your family or mm-hmm. your friends? You can make a difference in their lives, you know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And that's just that people... We try to get people to listen and to hear what he says so that they can be an impression upon somebody. It's like, hey, you know, if you do this with your money, we have 60 seconds left, I guess, with your money, and then you can help somebody else along the way. And you know, you will have that generational wealth. You will have that money in your pocket. And like we said, if we just gave a dollar, $5, look how much money we'd have and how many people we can help. That's what we need to do. But we're so stingy and so afraid that somebody's going to become, quote unquote, more wealthier than I am, that they don't want to help somebody down the road, which means they're cutting off their own blessing. You see, you can invent something and license it to Corp. Stay home, collect your check. Exactly. That's right. Stay home and collect your check. Exactly. I like that, JB, too. So that brings us to the end of our show today. I appreciate everybody. My name is Miss Inez, owner and fashion designer of Inez. And thank you for listening. Thank you.